following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then filmed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What? Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thanks for hanging with us on a Thursday, getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday. It seems like a long way away. Not only, you know, do we have all these games Sunday that we're going to have to watch, or not have to, going to enjoy doing it. But tonight is a big game. The Jets and the Broncos, Tim Tebow versus Mark Sanchez, Edge Tebow, by the way. But, you know, so there's a lot going on before the Patriots are going to take the field again, which is fine because right now, if everything ended today, Patriots would be in first place in the AFC East, as we know. So things are looking good. The schedule's favorable. Life in Patriot Nation has taken a 180-degree turn since a week ago today because of a big win in the Meadowlands against the Jets. So we're all psyched about that, and we're going to talk about that. And of course, Kansas City coming up Monday night and everything else going around the NFL. We'll do our picks in the second hour. Well, not the second hour, kind of like the last 20 minutes. We'll be doing that at the end of the show. So we are very, very excited here. Paul will be down later, or now. No, here comes Andy and Paul. I don't know where they were. I don't know why you can't get on time for the show.
The locker room.
I thought locker room ended at 12.
It did not.
It just ended.
Really?
We left
they gave you some bonus minutes?
Evidently, we probably got in a little bit late.
Oh, okay.
Logan Mankin's talking at the podium today.
Yeah, Paul and Andy are here. So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Mankin's talking at the podium.
Yeah, Andy was in on that.
What did he have to say?
Called the holding penalty that he got.
Yeah. Terrible call.
A terrible
call.
It
was a terrible call.
Absolutely.
And he goes, and everybody
absolutely
laughed, and he goes, no, I'm not just kidding. It was a terrible call.
It's everything they teach you. He had his hands inside the shoulders.
It was the perfect example of they call it based on what they see out of the corner of their eye, the result, rather than what actually happened. It looked like a guy goes, what are you doing?
I'm cold. I'm
so now you finally button your shirt.
There's a draft going down my shirt, so...
Now it's okay because Fred's cold. Yesterday I was my hands were freezing and they were telling me I was out of my mind.
It's always cold in here.
Thank you.
Except when it's hot, then it's always hot in here. It's never the right temperature in here. But yeah, he was very funny. Talked a lot about his penalties. You know, said some of them are penalties. Some, you know, there's different factors involved. Talked a little bit about the rule with the who is it? The referee that's behind him now. That there's now two guys
right
watching the guys in the
umpire,
middle.
Right?
The umpire, whatever it is.
The referee was always behind. The umpire's now behind.
So you know, a lot of guys. But not all of his have been flinches. I mean, he's had legitimate false start calls. He's not happy with it. But he's talked a lot. He talked a lot about the line. He talked a lot about Brian Waters and playing with him. And I'm going to be doing a story for the paper. He also talked about killing boars in Hawaii, getting blood on them, and walking back into the hotel, a fancy hotel with blood on them.
I didn't know they had boars in Hawaii.
The mountains of Waikiki.
Oh,
Waikiki.
Okay.
He and Trent Cole, who he'll face next week with the Eagles, and Matt Light at the Pro Bowl a few years ago, went boar hunting. He did his little...
Was it last year?
No, I think it was like 09. But he did, you know, his little voice where he kind of trails off. He,
right.
Yeah.
Killing pigs. That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to kill a pig.
Yeah, he's the best. He's my favorite. Oh, and he called out Chris Price. That was the highlight of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
There was talk about with his contract, and you remember he had said, I'm not going to be any different. His contract's not going to change me. Well, somebody asked, have you had to work at that? Were you worried you would? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, something to the effect of, and if you don't, you get guys like Chris Price making sure you're playing well or something. And, Price doesn't even really remember what he wrote that could have.
Chris is one of the least controversial writers in
right.
this, so that's why
yeah.
we spent much of the locker room period asking Chris why, you know, Logan would have.
He can only think of like one
like
time where he said he's early in the year, he said he's been a little bit below his normal, but he's still better than 95% of all guards, but he's a little down.
Is there a chance that Mankins has him mistaken with someone else?
He said Chris Price and pointed to Chris Price.
Oh, okay.
He said the name
I
and point.
Not.
I mean, it was people were joking. It was like he was calling out the Mike linebacker. He was right in front of him and he pointed. Yeah. You got guys like Chris Price and he pointed right down at him.
Chris Price is the Mike.
So, yeah.
It was funny. I wish I had seen it in person. But
well, Chris should have said something to him because Mankins is a great guy. Even if he wants to fight you, he'll talk about it with you.
Yeah.
He might punch you in the nuts at the end.
He probably had an adrenaline rush and like, well, why is he calling me out?
Well, he said he was immediately trying to go through his mind of what have I written? You know, what have I done? And he said it's been a while and it wasn't all that
good
egregious,
stuff.
But I told him
otherwise.
Quiet. He got his name right. He got his name right. It's in the, you know, these get live press conferences. His name's out there
next
now.
Logan, you know, he'll be being offered national jobs.
That's right.
The way it works.
And
that's
we
right.
know what he, I mean, he's many times filled in for us when we've needed, you know, fill ins for John Rook and Pete Shepard and whatnot.
This has been the launching pad for many people.
He's a rookie, though, at self promotion.
Wes Welker.
I had to tell him,
Matt Castle.
For the pregame show on EEI, you got to get him to get that audio now. I mean, you got Logan Mankins calling you out. That's good stuff. Oh, I should get that, he says.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Speaking
imagine
of
that, he never even thought of it.
Speaking of being on TV and other stations and all that, Paul made his TV debut for 98.5 yesterday. They have a new segment. When Paul's on from 4 to 5, they put it on TV.
What? You're right, Fred. Thank you.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard he looks very slim.
Well, he wasn't the heaviest guy on the set, that's for sure.
Can we not do that?
It's like saying, Kyle Love, you looked really slim when you lined up next to Vince Wilfork.
Which you said to me the week before when I was with Kyle Love.
No, I'm just
say, when you went belly to belly with Kyle Love.
I was going to say, it looks like Felger put on some weight. That's all.
Oh, yeah. He's a fat, skinny
guy. He definitely has, by the way. Mike and Tony both are... were both really, really skinny guys when I knew them way back when.
When Felger was covering...
And they're not anymore.
To be fair...
What?
Were you not a skinny guy when they knew
not
you?
Not like them.
Really?
When not
they
like
were
them.
Skinny.
I was skinny, but not like them.
Back when Felger was covering the Patriots beat on his knees.
wow.
He was a skinny guy.
I guess the gloves are off. Okay, all right, let's get into it.
Well, he comes on and calls you sunshine.com. And meanwhile, when he was on
that's comparable to saying he was on his knees?
Well, I was mad too yesterday because on Tuesday, and James alerted me to this. James, the most interesting Patriots fan, alerted me to the fact he called in yesterday. Not from his palatial bathroom.
But I still have to be
careful.
Picture.
You drop the phone, you get electrocuted.
He said that Mike Felger had given me a great introduction on Tuesday, a promo of what was to come on Wednesday. Paul Probo, he was over the top. And then I had another call on my way home. Evidently, Tony Maz then threw in there, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he puts a negative spin on this one. And I'm like, of all people, these two, who after a World Series victory find something to complain about, I went in, I had the gloves off right when I started. So I said, I got a bone to pick with you. You know, I was pointing to Tony. I was like, you know, I have a negative spin. I would never even dare to play your side of the street on any of these kinds of things. One of the biggest wins they have, in a long time with all those guys out and you dare to put it on me as a negative spin. This is what you guys do for a living. You put a negative spin on everything.
And they're good at it.
They're exceptional. Exceptional.
You managed.
I didn't put a negative spin on that game.
At one point, you broke down and you did.
Well, I didn't just say that everything was perfect.
Down. Your true self came out.
No, I mean, negative spin is not, saying that the offense was beneficial of turnovers in that game, which is what you, I'm sure, are alluding to.
It's good. It's good, though. You guys have a good chemistry. Wish we had it here.
You're an idiot.
You really are.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. So
let's get back to Felger. I want you to take more shots at Felger like that.
What? No. I mean,
when he was on his knees.
There's no doubt that he, Look, I went to one of the Kraft's anniversary parties. At my table was my wife, Scott Pioli and his wife, and Mike Felger and his wife. So don't tell me he wasn't in.
Oh, he was in.
You know,
no doubt.
He's the first guy to tell you.
Yeah, and then he went to radio and he realized I don't have to. I can get up from my knees and I don't have to do that anymore.
He got off his knees before he went to
radio. Wipe his chin off. He doesn't have to do that anymore. Jesus. Now he could be Mr. Contrarian, and he's doing a great job. He's very entertaining and he's doing very well for himself. But he got off his knees.
I remember when
he was on the beat.
You absolutely are right. But he got off his knees when he realized he wasn't getting a whole lot for being on his knees. Not when he went to radio.
I think when he was still a beat writer.
Yeah, he was off his knees when he was still writing.
Okay.
When he used to tell us that, you know, when they played the Colts, you know, the Colts top to bottom have a better team than the Patriots. I mean, all of a sudden it was this flip-flop. I mean, this is the guy who, when the Patriots played their first game under Belichick against Tampa Bay, they had like six sacks. Max Lane was playing with a broken thumb or something. He had a big cast. And Bledsoe was terrible. The offensive line was terrible. It was a train wreck. First game was a train wreck, and he writes this big On Football column about how prepared the Patriots were, and I was like, did this guy see the same game that everybody else did? I mean, this was just an utter disgrace. They didn't have 53 players. Remember, they didn't have 53 players on the roster.
And back then, wasn't Borges still with the Globe?
Yes.
There was always the, whatever the Globe writes, we have to write the opposite.
Yeah, but he departed from that while he was still writing for the Herald because he realized, I'm not getting anything.
Right.
Not getting any, you know, it's great that they like me and all, but I'm not getting anything.
But he is a natural cynic. He is a natural a-hole. I mean, that's what he is.
This is his true self.
He had to go against his own nature.
This is his true self. You say that I let my true thing come up. His true self is,
right.
You know,
he had
conspiracy
to work.
Theory, negativity, sarcasm. That's
he worked to
phone.
Get on his
I mean,
knees.
I mean, look at the way he talks
so
about
it. You're doing it now.
I mean, look at the way he talks about his own team, the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he's brutal.
He's a New Englander at heart. Even though he's not, he takes that negative, cynical, it's not going to work out kind
of.
But then he also goes the other way. When he's giddy about the Packers, he's giddier than any Patriots fan ever is.
Right. He absolutely loves the Packers, and he loved Brett Favre. In his heyday, in the mid-90s, I worked with him at the Herald, believe me, I can tell you. He loved Brett Favre. He actually kissed the Superdome turf after the Packers beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 31. I was there. But he was well ahead of the curve, just to say his true nature, he was well ahead of the curve on the Favre hatred, and not necessarily the person, but the play. He saw the play deteriorate long before. I mean, there's some national guys that still don't think that he has deteriorated as a player. He saw the deterioration long before the average national guy when it comes to Brett Favre, and he loved him as much as anybody.
And one last thing on the Felger front here before we move on. I brought up, Fred, my hate for how he refers to Jonathan Kraft as John Kraft here. And I brought that up to Jonathan today, and it doesn't bother him.
He said he didn't
It bothers me, apparently,
he
way
said
more
he didn't
than it
care
bothers
and,
Jonathan.
And Andy and I told him that we were going to take up the fight for him.
I think it's so disrespectful.
Did you happen to ask him if he would do the interview for?
I thought that was something you should ask. Oh. I thought of it, but I wasn't.
I was going to say it then, but then I figured there was something that you had already talked to him about.
No.
But we did
That's
ask
above
him,
my pay grade.
But as long as Jonathan is up, we did ask him about that comment that one of the emailers made about him yesterday, or the callers,
Caller.
I forget. Yeah. He made a comment on the pregame show. Andy, you weren't part of this. Someone said that he had mentioned that there were so many rookie linebackers making impact plays. That's one of the biggest surprises, but we didn't know what the context was. Well, Jonathan said that he was asked a question about the overall NFL in general, you know, at roughly the halfway point, general observations. And one of the things that has really struck him is that he was surprised that there were so many young defensive linemen and linebackers that were making impacts early on. He thought,
despite the lockout,
he thought, like most of the conventional wisdom, that teams that had the veteran coaches and the core together were going to have an advantage. The younger guys and teams that didn't get a chance to get prepared with new coaches and a lot of new players were going to struggle, and he's been surprised that that hasn't been the case. He brought up Jim Harbaugh and all the young pass rushers.
Poster boy.
You know, Von Miller, Alden Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, those kinds of guys. Your boy Quinny coming on a little bit lately. He was surprised by that. So that was the context of what
to me, the Harbaugh one is the one that, because he was supposedly didn't have a quarterback and he had a new system. And he's a college coach, so he can't even fall back in.
And he had the 49ers.
This is what I do. Right. And now he has them as maybe the best team in football, competing for a Super Bowl in the NFC, everything.
It's good.
the defensive linemen, to me, as I said to Paul, for all we know, Von Miller and Alden Smith may end up as Lawrence Taylor and Andre Tippett. They may have, you know, 10-year careers where they have 15 sacks a year. They may be elite guys. And we know that pass rush is one of those things. If you do it well, you do it instantly. We've seen Arakpo and Clay Matthews and some of these guys, but it's been fewer guys. This year, it seems like there's more of them all at once, but they may just be really, really good.
We have a guy associated with our team who used to be associated with 49ers who's beside himself every time they win a game.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
It is funny.
Well, because it hurts.
Yeah.
He's winning with Alex Smith. That guy you're talking about hates Alex Smith.
Oh, yes.
And Harbaugh is winning with Alex Smith.
And they're starting to win, not necessarily in spite of him. They're starting to win, I wouldn't say because of him, but they're starting to win with him.
He's helping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. Getting back to the Patriots, Mankins talk, you guys were in the locker room. Anything going on there?
I was in on a Deion Branch talk, which is a little bit of a rarity. Generally, he's a Friday guy. He and Wes Welker, it's Receiver Friday. He decided to talk today instead. Asked a lot of questions about the Chiefs defense with Romeo Crennel. Didn't really think there was much to it. You know, you can't really go.
Did he talk about Flowers at all?
I didn't hear him talk about those guys. I know
he's a guy that some people think he's really good and some people don't.
Well, Bill Belichick thinks he's really good.
Really?
He did some stuff that I saw on film this week, particularly on Brandon Flowers.
Okay.
How
I think,
you know,
Flowers,
despite
is
him only being 5'9", he's really good. Even with the bigger receivers,
I think Flowers is pretty good.
I do too, but I've heard people that think he's overrated.
But I know that a lot of people think that both their cornerbacks, Brandon Flowers and Brandon Carr, are very good. I don't think Carr is as good. I don't know as much about him, I'll admit. But I don't know. It's hard to tell when you don't see teams, you know.
The worst part is I'm going to make an assessment based on Monday night that'll live with me for the next 4 years until I see him again. And in my mind, he's either going to be great or suck based on what he does here.
Well, in fairness, we did that with Dwayne Bowe based on opening day in 2008 when he dropped 17 passes.
Right. And in fairness, though, that's what Bowe used to do.
He's been pretty good since.
That's what he used to do. He didn't make the big plays, and then he made all the big plays last year.
Yeah, he's been pretty good since. So he talked a lot about that. I didn't hear him get into specifics, but he just said about Crennel, you can't really go by what he did when he was here with us, because it's not necessarily relevant. It's what he's doing now with the players he has, and you just got to study and,
right,
you know, generic stuff.
Are you detecting that it's a really upbeat mood at all? Because I'm hearing that
today was a regular
people
Thursday.
Are feeling
there
pretty
was,
good.
There was nobody in there today.
Yeah.
It was a very quiet Thursday, but I think, I think this team is feeling pretty good about itself after that win Sunday.
And
it should.
Plus, they have Tyler Palko coming to town.
Right, and I think
a left-handed backup quarterback. Is there anything worse in the league?
And, you know, it's a full buffet, if you will. They're going to feast on some teams
coming up. Yeah, they could kill Tyler Palko.
I heard someone make a comparison for Palko from another former Pitt backup quarterback, Alex Van Pelt. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Right.
I don't think he's as fat as Van Pelt. But.
Plus, I mean, what do you really fear? Even with Castle, they weren't playing that well.
Right.
And
defense,
I mean, they've
16,
lost their best players on both sides of the ball. You could argue that Eric Berry and Jamal Charles are their two biggest game changers.
I think that's not arguable.
They're not playing. They're not on the team. So, what is it, 15-point spread, I think, right now?
Is it
now?
Really?
14.5.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter that your defense stinks this week, if it still stinks.
All right, webradio at Patriots.com.
It won't stink this week, that's for sure.
508-298-0398.
That's
true.
It's
the Ace Ticket Hotline.
No, but this is one of those games where the defense, if they give up, if Tyler Palko comes in and goes 23 of 37 for 315 yards and two touchdowns, you go, ruh-roh.
Yeah, see, I think.
Yeah, well, you do.
It's way worse.
I personally think that can't happen.
I
do. I think it can't happen. It's one of those.
Flynn did all right.
But he is better.
Matt Flynn can play, and he had the Super Bowl champs around him.
Has a much better team.
Well, they weren't until.
But he had Super Bowl championship.
We didn't know that.
This show is awesome.
They weren't the Super Bowl champs until they became the Super Bowl.
He had Super Bowl champion talent around him. Okay, if they weren't the champs yet.
Right, okay.
But this guy doesn't have that around him.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think Matt Flynn actually has proven to be a decent backup quarterback. He's a backup. But he's, you know, I don't think he's the Tyler.
Oh, by the way, I got to the bottom of that rumor that Jim from Walpole sent us about the Redskins and being interested in. That started with an Adam Schefter speculation, not even speculation, but just saying that, you know, the Redskins, here's what could be free agents. It could be, I forget the two we mentioned. One of them was Matt Flynn and another guy. So it's not a big free agent year for, you know, unless, you know, the Colts decided to trade Manning, you know. Other than that, and that's all he said.
I see.
That got picked up and it escalated until Extreme Skins, which is kind of like our Pats fans. That's for the Redskins. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like their fan site. Said, oh, Schefter is speculating that this, you know, that they'd be interested there. And so it became a rumor, but it really wasn't.
But those guys have to be careful because they're thought of as pure information guys a lot of time. And they think even if he speculates,
right,
he must have heard somebody
nothing,
say
nothing
something.
Nothing comes into their head without something
right.
planting the seed. Yeah, but still, even if you read it, you knew that it was pure, you know, unless this happened.
Right.
You know, so that's where that. But, you know, now that it's out there, it's fun to think about. What if the Colts said, we're willing to trade
Peyton
Manning?
The Colts came out last week, right, and Napoleon, I believe, said Peyton Manning has no problem with this team drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
They're already laying a road, if they want to, that they can, that it's not going to be this huge controversy.
Yeah.
We can have both. Or they could go down the road of trying to trade.
All right, well, it's 12:21. Let's go right to the phones because we have the phones are stacked.
The Ace
up.
Ticket Hotline.
Okay.
Let's first go to Chris in Stanford. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. How you been?
Great.
Good, great. You?
I wonder if you guys
going to get together for Thanksgiving later? I don't know.
We might.
Are you? if you saw the Turning Point this week.
The Turning
Point.
No.
They have the Jets pass, and they say that the Turning Point was the Jets calling timeout at the end of the first half.
The dumbest play in football history? Stupidest?
Exactly. But yeah. The thing was, they show Rex Ryan and Schottenheimer on the sideline, and Rex Ryan says, okay, we're going to call a timeout here. But as he continues to say, let's, you know, run the clock down, Schottenheimer says into his headphone, we're calling a timeout. And Sanchez calls the timeout right then.
Right. So it wasn't totally his fault.
It wasn't. He
yeah.
he heard his offensive coordinator say, you know, call a timeout, and he did.
Now,
and
if Brady would have said, are you crazy? We're not calling timeout yet.
Brady would have waited till there was one second on the play clock to call a timeout.
He would have overruled.
Yeah, but
it's
a little different.
But I think that there's blame on both guys, but I don't take Sanchez off the hook for calling timeout.
Yeah.
He should know the situation.
I agree.
I also think.
But it's hard. If somebody yells in your ear, we're calling timeout, you might just immediately go, I shouldn't be.
Schottenheimer deserves criticism if he said that in his ear. And Sanchez should have known the situation. But I also think, and we talked about this, Andy, earlier in the week without you, is I think it was a bad timeout. I think it's being portrayed to be far bigger part of that game than it was.
I agree.
I personally think the Patriots scored with 9 seconds left. And I know it's easy to sit there and say, well, if they let 25 seconds off the clock, they probably would have only gotten a field goal. I personally think the Patriots would have been fine with 25 seconds less.
They would have figured out.
They would have figured out how to get down the field a little bit faster. They would have used more timeouts, and they would have scored.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way I look at it. I've seen the Patriots use a minute with the two timeouts
the
plenty of times.
The Patriots didn't even use both of their timeouts, right?
No.
So they had that other timeout would have equaled the 25
Plus,
seconds.
I don't even care if they had timeouts. I just have seen Tom Brady do it. I think the much more egregious mistake by the Jets was after the 15-yard penalty by Wilfork and allowing him to kick off at midfield. You kick it through the end zone.
Right.
Kick it sky high and go down and tackle him inside the 10-yard line. And you might dissuade them from trying to get points.
I was surprised when they kicked it out of the end zone.
Yeah. I think the timeout there, you know, Rex calls it the stupidest play in NFL history. I think it's the most overrated key point of a game in NFL history. How's that?
How do you like that, Chris?
That sounds pretty good. it changes the context a little bit because coming in after halftime, it seemed like he was putting it all on Sanchez and he might have been taking a little bit of the blame himself.
That's true. And Paul's point is it might have been 13-9 anyway.
At the very least, they were getting a field goal.
Yeah.
At the very least. They should have stopped him. The defense deserves blame. I mean, they let him go 80 yards. That's on the defense as much as it's on anybody else.
And there weren't any, like, you know, big PIs or anything like that.
No, it was bad defense.
Yeah, it's just bad defense.
Speaking of that, you know, this is the time when we all, and I think it's wishful thinking, where we all hope that the Jets start to take a tumble and go downhill. Is there any way that Denver can beat them, and how would they do that?
Yes.
If the Jets don't show up, they can lose.
There's no sense of analyzing it because
if they show up to play, they kill them.
Right.
If they don't show up, they could lose.
Obviously, it's all about stopping the run for the Jets. You know, they're not going to throw the ball a lot, so it comes down to run defense. But I also think that on defense, when Denver's on defense, they could cause the Jets some trouble, just like a lot of teams do. They've got a pretty good pass rush, and I think that they could cause some trouble for Sanchez. And look, it's just like anything else. You're at home. If it comes down to 10-10 in the fourth quarter, I give the Broncos a chance, and that could possibly happen.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's what I'm hoping for.
If the Jets don't go to play, they could be in a 10-10 game. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's all about the Jets.
If they're still feeling sorry about themselves from what happened to them last week, they could lose.
I think they either lose badly or they blow them out. I think you see an angry Jets team that'll try to hurt Tebow. You know, you already heard it this week. They don't respect him with, saying just don't fall asleep back there.
Well, and also I think Revis is the one that said in the long term, you can't win the way they're
right.
playing.
And right? he's right.
Well, yeah, he is.
Unless you turn the clock back and literally play in the 40s, you can't win that way.
Right. But what if you do turn the clock back and successfully
you're playing in the year 2011.
You can't score 15 points and win consistently in the NFL. You can't.
No, but
I know you want him to, and you love him, and you want to have his baby and all that, but it's not going to happen. He could get hurt tonight.
I hope he doesn't.
You're willing to turn the clock back for Tebow?
Fred loves him more than anyone on the planet.
They're saying John Fox is willing to do it.
I'll tell you what he
has to do it.
That's what I'm saying. He's willing to do it.
He has to do it.
What I like is he no longer has that excuse. You just have to change the offense for him. They've done that.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right. Thanks a lot, Fred. I appreciate it.
No problem. Let's go.
2-for-8. They've changed the offense for him.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline,
halftime,
508-298-0398. Let's go to our lunch buyer today, Jeff in Vegas. Hey, where Jeff.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Where's my lunch?
How you doing? Exit, stage left. Well,
not only, according to Kevin Collins, is lunch on the way, but I'm just swimming in money due to my winnings that Andy Hart was mocking.
Mocking you. He mocked you, Jeff.
Heavens to Betsy!
I mock everybody.
But he's saying his mocking prompted you to even bet larger.
Yeah. You showed me.
Exactly.
So he's taking credit.
Yes, and because I'm swimming in money to the extent that I am, I just have more than I know what to do with here in Vegas, I put the absolute maximum that Kraft Productions would allow for the lunch budget. So hopefully Kevin hooked you guys up with some filet and Maine lobster tails.
Nice.
I don't think he did that.
I don't think he did either. I think he pocketed some money.
We went to the same restaurant that we always do.
But if you're really swimming in money, we can slot you in for every Thursday from here on out if you want.
always the quick wit of Andy Hart.
That wasn't
quick
a joke.
Actually, speaking of maybe not so quick of a wit, just kidding, at least Paul Perillo is genuinely Mr. Negative through and through. He's not a fraud like Michael Felger kissing butt and then turning negative.
That's
true. Right.
Paul's always been negative.
That's right.
I'm not negative.
Ever since the Agate days at Boston Herald, Paul's been a crusty curmudgeon.
Yep.
Nice.
That's not
and as
true.
The guys alluded to, we've got a New England by 15 for the Monday night game. It's going to be a huge New England Patriot pregame social sponsored by JetBlue on Monday night because I believe it's the only pregame show in town pretty much.
No question.
But Jeff, you know, your advice as someone who does pretty well at this, do you take that number or do you what do you do with that?
You listen on Monday night.
Great question, Fred, and I was going to tease that as Andy seems to be hinting at. I will say this, though. We got Romeo. And again, Paul is going to think of this as hogwash, but I don't think Bill is going to run up the score. He might just run the ball if New England's way out in front at the end. So that could be leave open the possibility of a backdoor cover.
I don't think that's hogwash. I mean, there's a first time for everything. Now that's
nice
that's humor, Jeff.
Well, no, I think he would have gone easy on Josh McDaniels too.
Except
McDaniels beat him.
I actually agree. I don't think he'll go out of his way to win by as many as he can.
Right.
I don't think he'll do that to Romeo.
Yeah, and I'll give my official pick as well as the total. Actually, a listener corrected me. I had been saying as of now it would be 11-3, but a listener, because I had Buffalo on the money line, I guess I get bonus units for that. I'm actually 13-2,
okay,
according to the actual trackers of this stuff.
How do you gain two wins and only lose one loss?
Because I took, I gave out, I think the Dallas game, I gave out New England, but also a hedge on the money line. And because New England won by a slim margin, I sort of lost both sides, but because the money line portion on Dallas was such a long shot, it doesn't count as a full unit loss.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that's all right. I'm sorry I asked.
In any case, I want to keep it quiet. A lot of people are asking me, speaking of that, how am I doing it? It's sort of like you guys. I've just been a fan my entire life. I've watched every single game for the past 35 years. I moved out to Vegas, essentially, to watch football at a Las Vegas sportsbook. And it's just, a labor of love, and you get an intuition, just, following it week after week, year after year.
So how old are you? You mean this has nothing to do with the Wilson Hart Power Index?
Hey.
The first question first. I'm 42 years old, Andy. Started at about age 7, going through. I wasn't like Fred Kirsch. I wasn't
Everett?
I wasn't a John Elway fan who converted to a New England Patriots fan. A lot of people in the Vegas sports book, you ask them who are they a fan of, they're like, whatever team covers. I am not that guy. I've been a New England Patriots fan my entire life, and the Patriots winning, it's far more important to me than any of this money that I'm currently swimming in from betting on them. It's worth.
You better start walking around with a bodyguard, because our fans, they find out about these things. They'll hunt you down.
Yeah, and one thing too, I know a lot of people from Massachusetts and New England are obsessed with Vegas. Anyone who needs a comp room, have a lot of connections here, and I notice Andy Hart and Eric Scalabino, especially, have very solid clout scores. It's like a social media score,
yeah.
And the Vegas hotel rooms are giving out comps. I think Andy is like 55, Eric is up to 52. So if you guys are ever in Vegas or any of the listeners, follow me on JeffVegas12 on Twitter. And I'll hook you up.
That's good to know.
Jeff, what is your favorite sports book in Vegas, the place to go and watch the game and, for recreational purposes?
Fantastic question, Fred. It's
in
a new
Vegas
one.
Vegas for recreation.
It's the all-new refurbished Tropicana. Believe it now, the Trop used to be a dive. It was a nasty, yep, gross, disgusting place. They put like $30 million into it.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular. Not only do they have projection large screen TVs, they're large screen HD projection TVs. And nice. So you want a Tropicana sports book. There are two other new ones that use that same. The Hard Rock has a brand new one, and then the Venetian as well. But the Trop, that's where you want to stay. It's not too big, and the sports book there is amazing.
Is the Trop down in where the old downtown used to be? They refurbished that whole area, or is it on the strip?
It is not downtown. It is right across the street from the Mandalay Bay,
okay,
on the south side of the Strip. And you could, again, just throwing it out there, I'm not compensated. I have no vested interest. But you can literally get a killer room for like $59, $69.
Mm.
I mean, the place is beautiful. Restaurants are amazing. And I was even talking to a host last night. They'll like comp you dinners and stuff just because. Wow. If you say you listen to the, PFW in Progress or the JetBlue Patriot pregame show, I can get you a free dinner.
My cousin's a big deal at Caesars.
Yeah, Caesars. It's Caesars. The sports book there is great. There's a guy named Bill Barnwell. He writes for at Grantland. Yeah, he just did a big review on the Caesars book. It's more of an old school. Problem is the cigarette smoke. A lot of the smokers congregate there.
Okay.
Whereas the place like the Trop is newer. The Hard Rock and Venetian have the same, HD big screen setup, but they're less accessible. The Trop's nice. You get in and out. It's convenient.
Yeah.
And I go around to all of them. I was at the Santa Fe this morning at 5:30 a.m. I tweeted out a picture of my Starbucks coffee in the board up there to get the current line. So I go everywhere.
Have you ever been to the Rio, the one behind the strip?
Not only was I at the Rio, Fred, I was at the World Series of Poker final table there last week, and I shook hands with the guy who won $9 million, and then the guy who came in, or $8.7 million,
wow,
the guy who came in second who won $5 million. Wow. So yeah, hell yeah.
I've gotten very lucky at the Rio. I like the Rio. It's a lot
lucky.
It's a lucky place for me.
Yeah, there used to be a place called Club Rio in its day. That was like the place back in the late 90s as far as like Well,
I'm talking about
the
50s back with Frankie and Sammy Davis. I used to
Bugsy. Yeah. Bugsy and the crew as well.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. Hey, catch up on the pregame show Monday night.
Thanks for the lunch.
Thanks, no Jeff.
All right.
Take care.
Why is this the first we're hearing that you have a... Oh, did you want that?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't know if I hadn't mentioned it or not.
I've never heard that you have a cousin that works at the Caesars Sportsbook and is a big time.
Not at the Sportsbook. He's food and beverage.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
I like Caesars.
I love Vegas. Have you been to Vegas,
yeah.
Andy?
I didn't love it.
What?
No, I didn't love it.
Did you go with the family or something?
Well, my wife.
Yeah, so that's why you didn't love it.
No, I don't like people. There's too many people there. It's just filled with
that's
people.
That's Andy in a nutshell right there.
You've been to Vegas, right, Paul?
Yeah, but not for a long time.
Yeah, I haven't been for a while either.
But, I mean, I wasn't there for a long time. It was like I was in L.A. for a week, and we took an overnight trip.
You and your boys should go.
I never experienced, and Jeff just mentioned it, but you got to do like the sports book during like an NFL Sunday or like the NCAA basketball tournament, something like that.
It's just
I went for
it's
a
so
whole
great.
Week during March Madness.
Some sort of event going
we didn't
on.
Ask you, Kevin.
I never wanted to come back.
We didn't want you to come back either.
That definitely made four of us.
All right. Yes, I got to get out there at some point.
So go take a vacation. You've worked here 72 years, and you take 3 days off to go to a lacrosse tournament.
I have a family.
No, you don't. The kid's old enough now to leave him home.
That's
in fact,
the last thing you
that would make for good radio if you leave him home. You'd have stories, and he'd have stories.
The week after that would be priceless on this show. So I come home.
Yeah. Right. Let's go to one more
banging cocktail waitresses, two at a time. That's actually Connor, not Fred.
Let's go to Salt Lake City. Where Sean is. Sean, hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Pretty good. I just got two questions for you guys.
Okay.
One is, the Monday night game going to get moved since it's more likely going to be a blowout?
Which one?
No. 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 Monday night games can't get moved, and this is the only Monday night game the Patriots have left anyway.
Sunday night already got moved.
Sunday night games can be flexed out, but Monday nights can't. And the Patriots were already flexed out on Indianapolis 2 weeks from now.
So the last question is, does anybody know what happened with Paige? If he was picked up on waivers or cleared waivers?
Well, that would be today, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet, anything.
Oh, I thought it was 4 o'clock yesterday.
I think he got released yesterday. So it's 4 o'clock today that the waiver process would end. So I'm hoping they've actually moved Donald Thomas in the locker room. He was with the defensive backs. He's now over with the offensive linemen. There's a free stall somewhere in the low 30s, high 20s.
In between,
I
like,
want to slot
Sterling
Page
Moore,
right in.
I think it's in between those like Phillip Adams and Josh Barrett. Right
somewhere
in the
20s and 30s. Put him right there. I want Page to have that locker.
Because I really think... I know he struggled in Philly. I think he would improve our defense quite a bit.
He would. In terms of experience, he would. He's played. I mean, he started 5 games in Philly. He's been here, so he knows this scheme a little bit. I don't understand why they would not. And he didn't sign a big deal. You know, I know he wanted some money here, but when all the dominoes started to fall, he just got a regular deal. I want to say it was like $900,000 or whatever in Philly.
We had reports it was $750.
Maybe it was $750. I remember it was not much money.
Right.
So you're talking about the
proration. 1 year, $735, I think, including a $50,000 signing bonus.
So there's
so you
no
can claim
reason.
Him. Claim
no
him reason. On waivers. That's what you're going to pay him anyway.
Well, the only problem is if somebody else claims it.
No, yeah, that's but you still have to.
Part of the
you still
question
have to claim
I have
him.
For you, I saw something on the internet today about not knowing if. The Patriots would forgive him. Did he leave on bad terms?
No, he just wanted money.
They put the tender on him on the old CBA, which no longer stood, and he signed with somebody else.
No, my understanding is he wanted some money. I think he looked at the depth chart and saw, hey, James Sanders makes this, and I'm in the mix with James Sanders. I want to make X. And they said, you're not going to make X, and he went elsewhere. They made their moves accordingly, signing, they brought McGowan back, made some other moves, and they basically told him to beat feet. We're not giving you that money. Now, the other concern would be, and I haven't done any research into this, but I saw the Pro Football Talk report that he was one of a few NFL players that were at a bar where a guy got shot and killed, and maybe there's some concern. I don't know anything about that.
Was he at that one in New York?
Yes.
With some of the Giants?
Oh, yes. Just recently?
Yes.
Oh.
So it could be an issue somehow. The Eagles just said that had nothing to do with us releasing him, but you're obviously not going to say that had anything to do with you releasing him, even if it did.
Right.
That's something you'd have to look into.
Okay.
So you don't see any bad blood with Bill and the Patriots with Paige?
Nope.
No, this would be strictly a play, you know, how his play is. Now, he lost his job in Philadelphia. For all I know, he can't run. He had a lot of injuries last year with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Maybe he lost a step. And
yeah, but every safety here has lost his job, too.
I understand that. And that's why I put a short little post on the blog yesterday from what we were talking about right after the show, Freddie, what we talked about on the show. Absolutely.
If he's not going to jail, I'd sign him now.
He's a better safety than anybody on your roster except for Patrick Chung right now.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Sean in Salt Lake. Speaking of Vegas, that reminded me that New Jersey is trying to push through legislation to allow, you know, sports betting in that state. What do you think about that, making other states have it other than, you know, Nevada?
I have no problem with it.
I have no problem with it either.
Really?
Yeah. I think it should be legal.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Now, the NFL might not want it. They're the ones who've stopped it in the past, right? Because that's been talked before.
Yes.
But there's teams in New Jersey, they don't want crossover.
I don't understand, like, that as a deterrent for NFL teams.
You know, from a legal whole thing, that's not where I'm coming from. I just kind of like the idea of there's one place to go to do it.
Yeah,
in Vegas. And Vegas too. But
how much gambling actually takes place in Vegas, and how much takes place not in Vegas? More not in Vegas,
probably. But I mean,
people are already doing it.
As a destination, it's kind of cool to have Vegas, you know. And I think Vegas loses something.
Yeah, but
if everyone has that,
I don't know about that.
Who gives a flip about Vegas?
See, I don't look
about the country.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really look at it that. There's a lot of places you can gamble. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's legal in some states and not legal in others. It doesn't make any sense.
Using that argument, wasn't it? I mean, the casinos have popped up everywhere now.
Right.
Not sports, but
casinos.
Right. I mean, we're going to have a Massachusetts.
Well, now it looks like we're going to get it, although there was a stumbling block that happened yesterday.
But I think they
fixed it. Looks like there's going to be three casinos
in Massachusetts.
Various slots, too.
Now, one of the issues I'd have if I was the NFL, there's been rumors, speculation that the Crafts would want to lease land here in Foxborough. Now, the closer it gets to my NFL, if there's literally a casino almost attached to a stadium and sports betting, I don't know how comfortable they're going to get going down that road closer and closer and closer.
Right.
I just don't, in this day and age, I don't understand why it's any more dangerous to fix a game if there's a casino in the parking lot as opposed to the way it is now. I don't get that. If you want to get to a guy, you're getting to a guy.
True.
I don't see, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's the part of it I don't understand.
It's just the association.
It's
the image.
The appearance of impropriety.
And
I don't get it. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, in real world, it doesn't. It doesn't make any difference.
We've had point shaving incidents, all across the board in all walks of life, college, pros, basketball, football. I don't understand why if it's closer, it makes it a bigger risk.
And from an economic sense, you think about it. You mentioned it just now, Andy.
All the money
that is under the table right now comes to the surface.
Yep.
I mean, and comes, you know, in the light of day and now as part of taxation and spending.
Love it.
You know, I guess you got to look at that.
You know, and I know there's a fear that you're making it easier for, you know, guys, you know, people with problems, you know, they're going to be affected. But
so
I go with the same thing that Andy just said. If I have a gambling problem,
that's your problem.
But I don't need a casino to have my problem.
No, but even bigger
than that. You know what I'm saying?
It's your problem.
But it's not going to.
If you're an alcoholic, the state's not arguing. We shouldn't have alcohol because some people can't handle their alcohol.
Fair point.
Same thing. It's your problem. You're an adult.
But do you understand what my point is? If I'm a gambler-aholic, okay, I don't have any. I'm not okay because I don't have a casino to go to.
And that's the answer for all of
them. I've got to find my way to gamble my money somehow.
Right.
It's not going to be any worse of a problem for me because, oh, geez, I work in Foxborough, and now the Crafts are thinking about leasing land behind Foxborough Gillette Stadium, and they put a casino up there. Now, how am I going to make it out of there?
Right.
No, I'm going to be on the phone making bets or, you know, online with overseas betting. I'm going to find a way to do it. There's so many different ways.
You can already do it because it's not like – I know there's different types and people have preferences, but the addiction is the same.
I have a
friend whose mother is addicted to scratch tickets. She could blow it on High Lie or this or that, but she blows it on scratch tickets.
You can go online and place a bet
anytime you want, go down the corner. Every town has a bookie.
Right.
Every town in America has a bookie.
Right. But you don't even need to leave your house.
Right.
You know?
So I just don't. I'd be collecting the money.
That's my point about fixing games, and that's what the NFL is deathly afraid of. This is not an NFL thing. That's what professional sports are deathly afraid of.
Shouldn't they be more afraid of shady characters fixing games? I mean, if you own a casino and you're involved with a sports book, you're tied into the government. You want to make sure you never lose your license. You never have any, right?
Right.
Maybe I'm being naive here, but I think I'd be more worried about mobsters and gangsters and seedy people trying to fix games because they have nothing to lose. They're already criminals.
Right.
Casinos have a lot to lose, right?
Sure.
I mean, Paul says I'm being a little naive, but
no, your larger point is right. But I think that those are shady characters. Guys that run those casinos are shady.
Probably,
characters.
But I just think they have a lot to lose. If they ever get caught, they don't just go to. I mean, they bring down a whole company with them and a whole. I just think the guys, the shady guys off the street.
Well, yeah, but
that's where they come from. They don't care.
I just feel like if you want to do that, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. And right now, I think that pro sports are probably pretty fortunate that they haven't been inundated with that kind of stuff. I just don't think that if you suppress sports gambling, sports betting in those states, that you're making it better for, taking away the chances. I think if they want to get to you, they're going to find a way to get to you, and you got to hope that it doesn't become a problem.
Yeah. I would kind of hate it if Vegas didn't lost its allure, and wasn't quite.
But it'll never lose its allure.
Well, it will.
It's always going to have the strip with more casinos, more this,
but
more that, all
but
in
you
one
you don't think
spot.
That people go to Vegas for sports betting, do you?
No, but overall betting.
Right. And there's what, 40 states that you can bet in
right.
now?
Right. So now we're chipping away at it.
But it hasn't lost its allure,
but
is
you're
my
not.
Point.
Because you
it's
can't
still
go
Vegas.
Anywhere else where you can walk 17 casinos, see, Neil Diamond one night, go
True.
Gamble.
That,
you know,
see, that's what it is. It's not just the gambling. It's everything that goes with Vegas. It's Vegas, baby.
So,
I mean, it's the whole allure of the
Boston
nightlife.
Being in Boston and being able to see Steve Sweeney isn't the same.
No.
Right.
And got to make sure you get the tee because the tee shuts down and you won't be able to get home.
And you're not going to have that strip that you have in Vegas
right.
everywhere.
No, okay.
Now, the All sports right. betting is an element that's unique to Vegas. I grant you that.
But I got to think that's a small percentage of Vegas.
I think it is, too.
Have you seen those sports books?
Yeah, I've seen the casinos even more. I think the overall casino and the shows and the overall attraction of Vegas, to me, the sports books are a small part. Because you can do it with your hometown bookie. You can do it online if that's your specific need.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We talked about that rumor of Peyton Manning in Washington. Jim from Walpole says, all right, I admit it wasn't a full-fledged rumor, but I got three mentions on the radio out of it.
Good job, Jim.
So there you go.
Don't check it. Just write it.
It's kind of like what we do in the offseason. Just go with it. Pats are interested in so-and-so.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Jeff from Vegas, you try to hype going to the Tropicana because they have hi-fi def projection TV screens you can watch? Oh, and a chance to shake hands with some poker sleazeball or just won $9 million? Dude, comp me an 8-ball of Coke and a hooker, and you'll get me down there. How about that offer?
He doesn't have male hookers, so you wouldn't be happy.
Who are you, Charlie Harper?
Just because you didn't get to hook up with Eric and you haven't fulfilled your sexual fantasies, don't take it out on
our boy. Yeah, it was embarrassing yesterday. They were, like, flirting openly.
It's so awkward.
Eric was calling him, like, Manhattan Matt.
They are. As a $3 bill, as my grandmother would say.
Really?
I don't even mean it in a gay sex way. I mean queer. It's an awkward,
odd,
queer.
Odd.
Yeah, that's what queer means.
I know.
Relationship
it used
that they have.
And
until it was hijacked.
And we know Andy doesn't think of it that way.
No, I do. I think their relationship is more awkward than sexual. It's uncomfortable. Eric's uncomfortable with girls, too, and that has nothing to do with being gay.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Jeez. Matt Matt writes
that's
in.
True. Do you have a problem with your Twitter feed?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I haven't been checking.
I haven't been checking.
I wasn't talking to you.
He put you in your place.
I'd like to check.
I wasn't talking to you. When I want your opinion, I'll ask for it.
Another Matt says.
And even
says,
then, I probably won't.
Another Matt says, please, for the love of God, someone has to say something about this. By the way, I'm Matt from New Jersey. Love your show. I love the podcast. I listen to the podcast every night while I'm at work. I'm so tired of everyone saying how great Aaron Rodgers is and how he's better than Brady. Rodgers couldn't wash Tom's socks. Since when is it so wonderful to beat the Rams, Broncos, Panthers, Vikings twice, falling Chargers, and inconsistent Atlanta and Saints defenses? Rodgers hasn't played any top defenses. Let's not forget, when Tom broke the TD record, it was against the best, the always competitive defenses of the NFC East, to name a few. It's like when Jordan played, everyone wanted so bad for someone to come in and be better than him, until finally the message got beat into their head that he's the best there
is
and the best there
was
and the best that will ever be. Mark my words, Patriots will win the Super Bowl this year and Rodgers will be an afterthought, especially when he plays an actually good, solid team. Yeah. P.S. I've been saying this since preseason that Andre Carter is a beast. My bold prediction is that he'll lead the league in sacks this year. What do you guys think?
I was with you in the preseason. You probably watched that Tampa game with me. I'm half on board with it. I don't care about Rodgers and Brady, but the other night on Monday Night Countdown, Is Aaron Rodgers playing the position of quarterback better than it's ever been played right now? No, he's not. He's having a good stretch. Just like there's been great, and even Steve Young, Trent Dilfer started talking, and you could see Steve Young just be like,
certainly playing it better than Steve Young ever played it.
And I'm not saying he did.
I would say that he's just playing, if not better, as good as it's ever been played right now.
I just think that's...
How can you not say that?
I think the most...
Why do we have to make these, this is the best four-game stretch a quarterback has ever played.
Well, okay, but I know it's a small sampling, but I think right now, if you want to make a
play,
I think he's playing... He's what? Has he got like a 75% completion rate?
Okay, so he's having a good.
Listen,
that's fine.
I'm not arguing
now.
So he's going to break every record at every.
I'm not arguing better. This particular year. One of the silliest things. He hasn't played against a good. Please, they're 9-0. They haven't played any defenses that are any good. They beat Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl last year. Pittsburgh's defense isn't any good. I mean, come on. This is the stuff that people used to make fun of Brady about that we used to get really mad about. Brady's not that, not this, he's not that. He's a game manager and he relies on the defense. Stop. When you're great, you're great. Aaron Rodgers is great. I don't like him, and I've made that clear this week.
No, he's great.
He's great.
No one can argue that. But why do we have to label it right now? This is the greatest stretch of quarterback play. Well, when did it start and when did it end?
Okay, why is it okay to compare Tom Brady to Michael Jordan? I mean, seriously? You think we're saying this is like the NBA? He said this is like the NBA. We're trying to compare everybody to Brady. This is like the NBA trying to compare everybody to Jordan.
I haven't heard any of that.
Michael Jordan is so far transcendent over any other basketball player than Tom Brady is in football. It's not even close.
Yeah, because I actually haven't heard any of that. My thing is they're not comparing Rodgers to anybody. He's the best. This is the best stretch of quarterback. That's ridiculous. At least let him finish a season. Let him finish a season so you actually have a season to compare. Okay, now maybe he finishes the year with 60 touchdown passes and does all this stuff. Maybe he has 75 completion percentage for the year. But why do we have to limit it? I mean, is Andre Carter sacking the quarterback better than anyone ever has right now just because he had 4 sacks last week? I mean, why?
You don't think one game is a little different than 9?
No, well, I also don't think it's... I think he's been very good. I don't think it's been greater than anything I've ever seen. I don't.
Wow.
I think it's been good.
I mean, I agree with your point about let's let him do it for the whole season.
I mean,
we do it. We all do
it. But you've watched some Green Bay games,
yes,
right? I mean, the guy is just surgical. And
he's
it's
very
not just
good.
Short passes.
I know. But I've seen Tom Brady be surgical. I've seen Peyton Manning be surgical.
And they get amazing praise.
Yeah.
No, but now
they're
saying,
the greatest.
No. Rodgers is playing it better than anyone ever has. That's what they're saying.
Well, I'm
but
saying
I,
as good.
I think that's, I think there's
that
an
may be. He's in the mix.
I think there's an argument to be made for it through 9 games. I agree with your point. Let's let him do it for 16.
I just hate the whole, you got to be the first to say it, so let's say it now. This is the greatest we've ever seen a quarterback play. Just let it play out. Let him play.
No, and that's fair.
Like Michael Vick, this is the greatest season a quarterback's ever had. He's going to beat Brady for MVP until he fell on his face for a month.
I think if anyone...
And if Aaron Rodgers, and that's where I agree with you.
But
let
why
him
don't
do it
we
for
wait?
Six,
right.
But
and if anyone said he is or is going to be the best, then that's crazy.
That's different.
That's
but
different.
If you're saying what he's done through nine games might be as good or better than
anybody's
ever played.
I actually have no problem saying, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as the greatest quarterback ever. He can do everything Manning and Brady can, but he can also move. He's athletic. He can do X, Y, and Z. I have no problem with that. But as of right now, to label this as the greatest that the position has ever been played, I think is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Okay.
I also think that's not an assessment you make during it. You wait till it's done. But that's not the world we live in. You have to assess it during, before, after.
Right.
See, I understand Andy's point, and I agree with that part of it. I just think a little bit more, I think, of what Rodgers has done than maybe Andy does.
I
agree with Andy's point.
I just think he's in the mix with Brady and Manning and these guys that have had greatest seasons ever.
I think you have to do it for a longer period of time before you can make these kinds of things. And I kind of agree with Andy on that. That might be my Rodgers hatred coming through because I really don't like him.
Joey in New York writes in, "Hey, guys, I love the show. I listen all the time, but it's my first time emailing. I was wondering if you heard the whole Aaron Rodgers thing on Skip Bayless. It sounded to me that Aaron was making a big deal, that Skip did not think that Aaron was better than Brady. After seeing this on First Take, I was in complete agreement with Paul on his views of Rodgers." I didn't see that. Do you know what he's talking about?
I didn't see the Rodgers thing with Bayless, but Bayless not only, and I don't know what he said on this particular thing with Rodgers, but I saw a thing with Bayless about 3 weeks ago when Bayless said he doesn't even deserve to be talked about. He didn't say that he wasn't as good as Brady. That was a mild understatement. Didn't even deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence. He doesn't belong anywhere near that category. And it was typical Skip Bayless over the top, you know.
Yeah, that's what he does on that show.
So I can understand Rogers being upset about that.
I'll read this one more email, then we'll take a break. This is Graham he says, I'm a native of South Dartmouth who's been in New Mexico for 20 years. I've been a PFW subscriber since the first or second year back in the 90s and really appreciate all you do with the paper, radio, podcasts, and tweets. I'd like to point out to Andy that he may be too young to remember, but there was an NFL quarterback who led his team to a record of 11-3 despite having 10 or less completions in 8 of 14 games. He completed less than 50% of his passes on the season, scored 12 rushing touchdowns, and won a game 31-14 with 4 for 14 passing for 40 yards. He started every game, only completed 145 passes that year, and 18 went for TDs. Do you know who that quarterback was?
No. I'm going to say Steve Grogan.
You're right, Paul. Sadly, Steve Grogan's 1976 pass got famously screwed in the playoffs. So there you go.
A similarly overrated player.
But he got him to...
He couldn't win.
What is
his career record?
Got him into below the playoffs 500. That year. All right. That's not going to be it, but that's going to be it for this segment. 12:56. We need to take our 12:56 break. When we come back, more of your emails and phone calls.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her, but online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we're taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com, and we're taking your calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, as we prepare for the Kansas City Jets. You know what's on my mind. The Kansas City Chiefs Monday night. And I was saying before you guys get in, doesn't it seem like so far away? Like, it's going to take forever until we get to that game, you know? But I'll be enjoying the NFL up until that point. Big game tonight. Will you be watching, Andy?
Oh, hell yeah.
I know Paul won't.
I will be watching and rooting against a certain player.
Paul doesn't watch football.
I won't be home, though. I have a game tonight.
Yourself?
Yeah, basketball.
You're back on the floor?
Yeah. I was going to talk to Jim Whalen today.
Yeah?
Patriots trainer. I was going to ask him, you know, just in a nutshell, do you think I'm insane for playing, given the,
And he would go, in your shape?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah, nothing to do with the Achilles.
Right.
With how out of shape I am and coming off the injury, am I insane?
Now, do you bring a defibrillator?
Don't make me laugh, because you know that makes me cough.
Ian in Maryland writes in, I'm listening to Sirius Radio, and they just reminded me of something that pissed me off while I was watching the Giants game a couple weeks ago. When Victor Cruz caught a pass, there were shouts of Cruz through the stadium. What was that all about? Well, he's from UMass, so there were probably some UMass alum,
And this is the home of UMass.
Right. That was the first time I can remember.
That and there were a ton of Giants fans here.
That's true. Yeah. That was the first time I can remember watching a Patriots game and hearing shouts for an opposing player. That also brings up another point of contention I have for the population in Boston and surrounding states. Again, listening to Sirius, there are numerous calls from fans from New England for other teams other than the Pats. Very rarely will I hear a fan from New England calling about the Pats. Places like Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Indy, and other areas, you will almost never hear a fan calling in rooting for any other team but the home team. I can understand people from all over the nation not liking the Pats, but what's up with the population of New England? We've won enough and been successful enough to warrant a stronger following. Sorry for the rant, but I had to get this off the chest. My chest has been bothering me for a while.
Well, couldn't that be seen as a positive for sports media in this area, well, that they have an outlet and they don't have to go to the Sirius?
That's my theory. I think when you live in Kansas City, you know, you want some good sports talk, you kind of have to go maybe to Sirius.
Right.
Here we've got two sports stations that
us,
you know, and us, and so the fans don't have to do that as much. And then when you do hear somebody from New England, it makes sense that they're rooting for another team and they have to be on Sirius in order to get any news from their other team. So I can understand that. It actually shows how good a sports area this is rather than the opposite.
And they were all people maybe like young Fred Kirsch, who would, you know, you would have thought nothing 20 years ago of calling a radio show and talk about the Broncos.
That's right.
Or somebody else.
Because I needed a Broncos fix.
Right.
Right.
Or whatever team that season you were rooting for that just happened to be first place in the standings and on its way to a championship.
Okay.
Because you're a whore. You're a sports whore.
Anthony in North Carolina, I have one question on the PI that was called back after Gronk's TD. When the play was over, the refs discussed briefly, and the ref came up and announced it as a penalty, but said that it was declined due to the TD. After the replay, the announcer said that it was reported that Brady had stepped out of the pocket, which is why the penalty didn't stand. The issue I have is determining when they decided to pick up the flag. I thought PI wasn't reviewable, but it seems they looked at that call and reversed their decision while reviewing the Gronk TD. Is that what happened? And if so, how is that allowed? Otherwise, why didn't the ref that saw him out of the tackle box inform the head ref when it happened before the announcement was made, which is normally what happens?
First of all, it was illegal contact, I believe, not pass interference.
Well, yeah, okay.
But it is a little weird. They definitely announced that it was declined,
right,
that it was a touchdown, and then they said he was out of the tackle box, so there is no pass interference.
But they didn't know he was out of the tackle box until they reviewed the play, right?
Well, no, they could have. I have no idea.
My guess, and it's very strange, I agree, but my guess is that they never even discussed whether or not it was in or out of the tackle box because they knew it was a touchdown,
right,
and that it was automatic declined. So you don't even go and look and say, well, the guy back here doesn't know what the quarterback is doing. The guy who called that is the guy in the back line of the end zone.
Right.
Who called the penalty on the guy who was covering Branch.
Right.
He throws the flag. He has no idea what Tom Brady is. So all he knows is, yeah, I had an illegal contact, and the referee says, well, touchdown. So legal contact, defense declined, touchdown. Now they go and look at, see that he stepped out of bounds, and they they overturned the touchdown. So now maybe another ref, who, you know, one of the umpire maybe, says, well, it really shouldn't be illegal contact because Brady was out of the pocket. But they never even discussed that because there was no need to discuss it because it was going to be declined.
Right. And then the next step is the issue that he may not have been out of the pocket.
That's a speculation.
It was
on
very
my
close.
Part. Maybe they did look at it on the replay and said,
but
I don't know.
What were the replays?
Out of the pocket to me.
What were the replays?
I don't
remember specific. Later they reviewed it. They even drew the little lines in red to show that he was out.
No, but I get
it. It was very, very close.
Paul's point.
It was a picky, you know.
I
actually
point.
Don't know the rule. If you're half in and half out, are you out or you in?
I actually think that should not be illegal contact because of the scrambling nature of Brady. You know, and I understand that he may have technically been in the pocket. But to me, that's asking an awful lot of guys who already have an awful lot to do covering guys to be able to zigzag across the field and never touch the receiver while the quarterback is moving back and forth. To me, that's a tall task. He may have not technically been out of the pocket. You know, I don't think there was much of a penalty. I don't think it was much illegal contact, to be honest.
I get Paul's point, and I think what the emailer is confused about is, you know, why would they be reviewing something that is unreviewable? But Paul's point is they probably already knew that was on the books, but there was no reason to talk about it because it wasn't going to come into play until it's not a penalty. Okay, now that thing that we weren't going to talk about, now we kind of have to talk about it because it's a factor.
No, but my question is I don't recall the exact replays they showed. They were reviewing something in the end zone. I'm not sure they even showed a replay that would have shown Brady was in or out of the
pocket.
Well,
they did show a replay. But
that was well after.
Right,
the replay
right.
is
but
that I'm talking about when they reviewed the play.
That wasn't what they were reviewing. They knew that happened. And
whether it
did or not. But they felt that he went out of the pocket, but it's a non-factor.
Don't they see the same stuff that we see?
Yes, and that's what I'm saying.
Right, they never showed the pocket. That's what tells me that There was a guy that knew Brady was out of the pocket, never bothered to say anything
because
he knew it was irrelevant.
Exactly.
Until after they overturned the touchdown. Now he says, hey, Gene, he was out of the pocket anyway.
And then 3 minutes later, they show another replay. The replay, but the officials were already on the field out of the
booth. I think Andy's right on this. I don't think Gene Steratour ever saw a review that showed you Brady was out of the pocket.
But you can't review that call.
Exactly. But that's what we're wondering about. But I don't think they ever showed a replay of that.
We know for a fact they've reviewed things they couldn't review in the past. Yeah. They're human beings. They do things sometimes.
What was that field goal that year?
Yes, that's my point. So don't say they can't, because sometimes they do.
Let's see. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Umar in France. How you doing? Bonjour.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you?
Bonjour. Comment ça va?
Si, comment estás? Muy bien. Y tú? Yeah, gracias.
Alors, pourquoi est-ce que Eric ne vient plus?
All right, I'm out. Back to English.
No, I'm just kidding, guys. Hey, I'm calling. I love the Patriots, but I'm calling about Green Bay. You guys are totally right. Aaron Rodgers is a douche.
And that's a French word, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a French word for shower.
Right.
So Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the debate about him and Brady. And he said on his radio, I just think that it goes to the point that you can't take a whole lot of what those people say too personally because they are shock experts on ESPN and NFL Network. A lot of them are just going for the shock value of what they're saying, as typified by that guy on ESPN. I don't even want to say his name. He works for First Take. So seems to me that he was talking about Skip Bayless.
Yes.
Right.
No question. And that guy is a guy like that, a shock value type guy.
Right. But you can tell Aaron Rodgers is mad. I mean, when he says, I don't even want to say his name, it's like he's talking about Stalin or Hitler.
Right. But easy now. You're not supposed to bring that name up. You bring that name up, you get in trouble around here, kick you off Sunday Night Football. But I think Aaron Rodgers has, Paul's right, he has a chip on his shoulder about everything, to everyone, for everything. He rubs you the wrong way. And he may be a nice guy, I don't know him, but he rubs you the wrong way.
Well, that's the part of it that I get annoyed about. I think he is a nice guy, but he puts up this facade like I'm mad at the world all the time. Now, maybe that's how he generates his motivation, I don't know. But I've seen him do some of those, you know, low-key things like the Kenny Mayne nonsense, where he comes across as a really nice guy. And he's been one of the guys that's been willing to do those things. Him and Jared Allen, they had a thing on last week. They are willing to do those more than anybody else, but they were playing each other that week. But I think he goes out of his way to be sort of angry.
Douchey?
Yeah. I was looking for a better way to say it.
I like douche. I mean, we got a French caller on. We're allowed to say douche, right?
I just don't care. I don't care for that whole nonsense. Yeah, it's like I said to you last year. You laughed at me.
Yeah, and then the other thing about Green Bay is, I'm not sure if you guys heard, but Jordy Nelson says that he is attributing his success for being white.
Okay, so that's the main reason he's successful, is that he's white?
Yeah, it's so silly. He's saying that those African-American cornerbacks are not taking him seriously enough, so they think, okay, well, he's just a white guy, doesn't know how to jump, doesn't know how to run fast, so maybe we just can ease up on him. And he's saying that one of his teammates told him that, Greg Jennings, and then he said that he totally agreed that honestly, I think it's a factor. That's what he said.
You never know. I mean, race is a factor in sports. I can remember talking
Paul's
to a guy.
Got a whole team of them.
Yeah, well, I was trying to leave Paul out of it and stick with real sports. Scott McKillop, I believe his name was a white linebacker out of Pittsburgh, I want to say. And he talked about being at the combine as a white linebacker. I feel like I have to do more. I have to show more athleticism because I think scouts and GMs look at me a certain way, and I have to prove that wrong. So we can't pretend. I know it's like a taboo. You can't talk about race and the white. I made the joke the other day when they double teamed Welker and left Ocho Cinco alone. I think race plays into sports. Now, I'm not saying Jordy Nelson is who he is because he's white or not white, but it's a factor. It's part of the game of NFL that people should talk about. The guy's white, the guy's black. Don't tell me there's not some black guys in these locker rooms who don't make fun of white guys that are on the football
field. I'm sure they do.
No, 100%.
Sure they do, I mean, what he's saying is kind of funny because the leading receiver in the league right now is our Wes Welker, who's white as a white person can be. So
white as a white person can be. I agree. Welker is white.
And I'm sure that he would say the same thing about Welker.
No, I know, but I'm just going the other way. The other day, we saw they chose right. to double Welker right. and leave the 1,400-yard black guy, Ocho Cinco, open, wide open. So it's interesting. It's just it's a topic.
Just to be clear, my team doesn't have anything to do with race.
But they all happen to be white.
No.
Is Gerard Mayo on your team?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Troy Brown was.
Yeah. Hey, PFW in progress. I think you guys should hire a black guy.
We should, Fred. What have you been doing?
Hey, I'll hire whoever's out there.
Can we get rid of Eric and get a black guy? I've been trying to get Fred to hire a hot blonde for years, a girl. We need some females on this staff, and Eric's not cutting.
Oh, yeah. I see, but yeah, that's a good idea. But you guys need equal employment opportunities.
So let's hire, like, Beyonce or somebody like that.
I love it.
I would take her.
All right, Omar.
Thanks for the call.
Right to my bedroom and do daddy things.
Let's go from,
although she's prego right now, right? So
let's go from France up to Toronto. Steve,
up and over and across.
Steve is at a 1 o'clock game. No, Steve is on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. This is actually one of the better shows I've heard in like a while, and I'm not slamming the other shows.
Okay, that sounded like a backhanded compliment.
It wasn't meant to be.
I think we've had a good week coming off that big win. I think we've had a good week.
I think you've just been exceptional today.
Thank you.
I have a bunch of things to touch on, so I'll try to be quick about them. The whole thing with Aaron Rodgers, I actually heard this on one of the programs that one of the talking heads said, Aaron Rodgers is playing the best quarterback in the last 25 years.
I thought you said you're going to be quick. I'm only kidding.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I think I don't know what you necessarily heard, but the thing I saw said he's playing it the best ever, and it was on Monday Night Countdown. It was Stuart Scott talking with Trent Dilfer and Steve Young, and that was the question they were debating. Is he playing the position at this point as well as anyone ever has?
Well, I don't watch those guys too much. Like, I flick back and forth when those guys are on, to be honest.
You should.
But I did hear this. That's a quote that he's playing the quarterback position the best ever in the last 25 years, which is a bunch of crap, really, because, yes, he's playing very well, but come on. You're talking about, you know, Joe Montana. You're talking about Peyton Manning. You're talking about Tom Brady during this period of time. It's a little premature to start, like, crowning his ass, so to speak.
I think he's playing as well as any quarterback I've ever seen. They're talking about 9 games. They're not talking about a career.
Right.
They're not saying he's better than Joe Montana.
No, but
not
is this
he's better
than any
Brady.
9-game stretch that Manning,
that's
Brady,
what,
Montana?
That's what some people are saying.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Some people are saying that he's having a better season to date than anyone's ever had. He's playing the position better.
Could be.
Now, I don't have all the data. I don't know. I don't think that's an outrageous statement. I really don't.
I just think, I don't care who it's about, I think it's an outrageous statement.
I just watch him play, and he looks
unless
so
he had
in command
55 touchdowns, zero interceptions, and was completing 100% of his passes, I think you just have to be careful making these bold assessments on a limited sampling.
But what do you think about how he's playing?
I think the latest is always the best. The closest is always
I
the
know,
best.
I know, but
the most recent is always
okay,
the best.
But you have this grand, you know, background to
hostility.
Yeah, no, not just that, but
no,
you
got
have
some hostility.
You
I
have
sense
some
stupid.
You have knowledge to fall back on. You can compare.
Right.
How do you compare how he's playing right now
great.
To the best?
Great. He's among the greatest performances over that span ever.
Yeah,
but I think that's
all they're saying.
But among to,
so I don't think it's an outrageous statement then if someone says that I think it's the best.
I do. I think to say he's among is but
it's different
but than saying he's flat out the best
no, I, listen,
that anyone's ever played. Always an argument.
Don't right. mistake
in all
me.
Of sports and all these debates. You know, the few you brought up Jordan, he kind of pushed himself apart. Same way Jerry Rice is generally said, who's the number two receiver of all time? That's the only debate, because the number
right,
one,
right.
there is no
well,
debate.
You know, you look at the Peyton Manning in the playoffs when he had, I think, 2 games with no punts.
Right.
I mean, that was pretty good, too, you know?
Yeah, but it was 2 games.
Right.
This has been, you know, they're talking
so
about the
two
whole
is too few, but 9 is just right.
Well,
that's what annoys
see,
me
now,
there.
No, but that's
there's
but,
a reason we have seasons,
Andy. If this was week 2 and someone said he's playing quarterback right now better than anyone's, then I would say, well, that's silly.
To be fair, I did want to, I believe, just for my part, I thinking back on it now, I think they actually lumped in his last 6 games from last. They were doing like the over the last 16 games.
Okay.
So I need to look at that as well.
That's even a better sampling.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying...
I just want to be fair to them. I think they did actually say that.
They may have, but I'm not sitting here saying that this is definitively the best anybody's ever played it. I think I'm with Fred on this. I don't think it's an outrageous thing to say.
I do.
I think he's got, 28-2? 28-4, something ridiculous. You know, he's, like Fred said, I think he's over 70%. His rating is like 120 or something it's, like that. I mean, it's silly what he's
among
doing.
Among the best ever.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen,
to me, the among is I'm important
saying,
in that sentence.
I'm not right, saying you're right, wrong. I'm fine. Just saying I don't think to say it is the best is outrageous. That's all. You disagree.
I think it would also be equally as outrageous to say Brady's stretch from X to Z is the... You have to look at it and say, I can't definitively say
well,
it's the best.
Well, the other part of this that I think gets lost is it's such
Hello?
A different game.
Yep, you're Steve, you still there?
No, we don't hear you. Goodbye.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, I was just going to... Before you guys go on for 10 minutes...
what's that supposed to mean?
You brought something up and we were talking about it.
You elicited a good topic, debate.
I know, but I'm just trying to get in. Point two was, listener on listener crime.
Okay, we love it.
People are slamming, Eldridge and Olivier and, actually, outrageously, Al from Georgia yesterday on, I don't know if they were on here, but basically you guys are the flagship. Program, so I wanted to bring it up here.
Obviously.
Like, leave the guys alone, particularly Al from Georgia. He's a great caller.
Right, and you know what? If you don't like it, get off your ass and call.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Al is like, an exceptional caller.
Please.
You're right.
I mean, like, and am I wrong in this? Isn't Al from Georgia the guy that was calling from Afghanistan?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't call every day, but when he calls, he has something to add, and he's a very good
But even
caller.
Regardless of that, there's a lot of people that criticize via email that don't call in. Well, if you want to call in, sack up and do it. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut and email.
Well, that was my second point. My third point was, Paul, you got to slam Grogan, please? Come on.
Oh. Wait till he gets to Babe Parilli.
I love Steve Grogan. You guys know that. He's here all the time.
Like, again, directly
he's not.
Paul.
He's not a great quarterback.
Yes, but he was the heart of the team for so many years.
Yeah, no,
when
I
he
know.
Had nothing around him.
There's another one on the team, by the way. He's got heart. He's got a lot of heart.
See, I'm with Paul there because, you know, even though I was a Broncos fan back then, I still watched the Patriots, and he would frustrate me because he'd have a string of games
the most
where,
consistently inconsistent
right,
player in the history of the league.
He'd throw some amazing, you know, on a rope touchdowns, and then he'd throw five interceptions in a row, and it's like, oh my god! As
I
soon
still
as see he
had six interception game in San
as
Francisco
soon as he
in
got
1980,
confident and like feeling in a groove, he'd start the interceptions would start coming. You know, it was very frustrating.
I agree. I can remember this is the game I became a Patriot fan was they were winning 23-0 or losing 23-0 against the Houston Oilers.
They were winning
23-0.
Paul will tell you what the temperature
78.
Was. That was degrees.
1978. They're up 23-0. They lost 26-23.
He's right.
Of course he is.
But there was another game.
I know I'm not a fan, though.
When I was 13 years old where something similar happened. I don't have Paul's memory for that. So, okay, my third thing is...
You already had a third thing. This is your fourth thing.
Oh, well, I was going to get into the whole gambling thing for a bit.
All right, quickly.
Quickly. I dabble in the online sports book.
Okay.
Okay.
And in Canada, you have to send with it. Well, for one thing, yes, there is a bookie in every small town in Canada as well, and we're supposed to be good. You can bet anywhere. Everywhere, but I don't think Las Vegas will ever lose the allure. Like, I mean, look at Atlantic City. The general feeling with Atlantic City is seedy.
That's true.
But that's their problem.
I don't think it's a problem, but I can't see anything different happening there as far as you know what goes on. I'm not rolling in money like the bookmaster that called earlier.
Right, Jeff from Vegas.
Yes,
swimming in money, he would say.
Swimming in money. Sorry. Yeah. I used the wrong adjective. Also, the final thing I wanted to talk about was Eric's post for 9/11.
Yes.
I read that, and it was great.
It really was.
It was great. That's it. You know, sometimes it is a little bit, pompous.
Yep, that's right.
Sometimes they're a little bit pompous. Sometimes they're a little bit funny, like his Buffalo one where he basically blamed Fred for everything.
Yeah, that was funny, actually.
But this time, you know, hats off to Eric. It was great.
Okay, and we'll pass that along.
Okay, I've taken up too much of your time.
Yep,
that's you're right.
Thanks, Steve.
See you, Steve.
No,
love you.
I'm just kidding, Steve. Thanks.
Boy, the phones are really
Strippers corrected me. Aaron Rodgers has a 130.7 passer rating.
I think it went up. I think it was 120 last week.
I shorted him.
122 last.
That's pretty high for this late in the year.
Yeah, but I'd like to say that in the 56-3 game that Grogan played the position of quarterback better than anyone had ever played it. I mean, he averaged like 600 yards per attempt
day. So you have to go crazy like that.
Yes, I do.
That's comparable to one game.
Fred, that's a healthy argument.
One game
is
comparable to more than half a season.
This is 8-minute abs, and the joke that I'm going to come out with 7-minute abs. Everybody's going to anoint
it
a week in or 2 weeks
in.
No, it doesn't.
Now we start arguing by
how... You know how to drive an argument off the track. You do it better than anyone.
Now we start arguing about how ridiculous you are instead of focusing on the argument that we were talking about.
You're the king of ridiculous, and you know
that.
But that's my point. When is it okay? Is 4 games okay? Is that the greatest ever? Or is it 6?
Well, you just said it was like 16 game span.
I think they did add that
okay, so is that okay?
No, it isn't.
All right. Tim from Pensacola, Florida. Hey, Tim.
Fred, how are you?
I'm doing great now that you called.
Thank you. You honor me with your presence on the radio today.
Likewise on the other end of the receiver.
Hey, guess what? Taylor Price is inactive. Go.
Aww. No, what I got upset about at the post-game show was I got upset at the Price inactive news. I kind of sighed, but when you guys said Sergio Brown might be starting at safety, that's when I got the whole no.
Oh, well, yeah. All of Patriots Nation, the world's largest virtual tailgate, went, oh.
I have a quick question about the defense, but first I have a comment just about something that's been going on this week about what you guys have been saying about Aaron Rodgers. Fred, you're excluded from this. Paul, Andy, why don't you guys like anyone? I mean, like this season.
Oh, thank good question.
No, seriously. I don't like Cam Newton. I don't like Tim Tebow. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. It's like everybody.
That's true. See,
wait
Fred,
a minute.
See,
you
Fred,
picked three. You know why? Because
but
fans do.
But
fans
Fred,
like him.
Fred just thought that was going in a different direction. Now he's kind of on board now.
But you picked three. I love Sam Bradford. I never hear you saying I didn't like him.
I like Joe Flacco, even though he's a maddeningly inconsistent quarterback.
We have guys that we love to a fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I got made fun of for James Sanders.
Flacco would be one.
I got made fun. I mean, I love Logan Mankins.
Richard Seymour.
Yeah, but
Ty Warren.
if it's a mass.
Well, the guys play on the team.
Sam
though.
Bradford was the number one overall pick with a shoulder injury. He was hateable, and I loved him.
If everybody loves the guy, you guys don't like him.
That's not true. Everybody loved Sam Bradford. He's got curly
hair.
Cam Newton.
People were iffy on him.
Cam Newton is
universally
hated. Universally hated.
And
yeah,
hated
that
too.
And I don't like him either.
No, but that doesn't count. I'm talking about
when people love guys
for no reason, I hate them. When people love guys like AJ Green or Calvin
Johnson.
So people
love Aaron Rodgers for no reason?
No, well now he has a reason, but different.
Yeah, everybody,
they can be separate.
I think Aaron Rodgers is just as good as people think he is.
You don't think he seems like a douche?
I don't like some of the things
not really,
he says.
No. I don't know enough. You guys have obviously
I don't
heard
either.
More things about him.
No, right. is just like you listen to a sentence and his tone or something rubs me the wrong way.
See, I think he's okay. I think he's fine.
I love him.
You
probably
know root
me.
For the
I would
now.
Be the first guy to say, oh, my God.
Well, you'll turn on him if he beats the Patriots, just like you
or
will
if
Tebow.
He goes to the Jets, yeah.
Well, that's commendable.
Yeah.
But we love people, too, Timmy.
I like a lot of players. I do.
Tim, you're right. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, yeah, there's certain players that, you know, and I'll get to my question on the defense right quick that I can understand. It feels like there's a lot of negativity. Like, there's some guys that people like that I don't like. Like, I don't like Pac-Man Jones, Albert Haynesworth, Jared Allen. Like, some of these guys are not necessarily did anything wrong. Like, Jared Allen, he doesn't come across as a douche or anything, but I just, for some reason, don't like him. But I'd love to have him on the Patriots. Yeah, but here's my question on the defense. With the Eagles imploding, I already said a couple of calls ago that I tried to get DeSean Jackson from them. Are you interested in any of their cornerbacks? It seems like one's going to be available. So I'll let you answer that, and thank you. And once again, thanks, Fred, for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
So I would take either Samuel or Asamoah.
Absolutely.
I don't love DRC.
I don't think they're available. You know, Samuel could be.
yeah, since he said they're playing fantasy football.
The other two won't be. And DeSean Jackson, to me, is a it's a very interesting guy. And I'm not sure.
Incredibly talented.
He's a dynamic player. I loved him coming out of college. And he's certainly, matter of fact, he was my pick for Rookie of the Year that season. And he had a great rookie year. But there's a lot not to like, too. Lot to be afraid of. Well, I mean, obviously, there's a ton to like.
And whatever this off-field thing is going on, you don't know what that is. But
that's contract related.
No.
He missed a meeting and then got benched last week.
He said that there's other things going on that he's working through it, you know, aside from the contract.
Maybe I'm being negative here, and I assume it's contract.
But I wonder if he gets the contract, what happens?
Well, my biggest issue with him,
I'm saying, some
I don't think
there.
He's a true number one receiver. I think he's a dynamic playmaker, but I think he always has to have somebody else.
Yeah,
you're going to be great on offense.
Yeah,
if you want to try to do what they do to Wes Welker and give him 100 catches, he's going to get killed.
So that'd be my problem, giving him whatever the going rate, 60, 70, 80 million.
A number one contract.
Now, how do I fill out the rest of the team? That's where he concerns me. But just to get the ball in his hands three times, five times, he can make ridiculous plays happen.
Terrific player, and I would definitely kick the tires there and be interested.
And pro side, that bully thing, remember that?
Yeah.
Brought a tear to your eye when he did, was it Oprah, one of those shows?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
The bully,
with that kid.
And he said, here's my cell number. You ever got a problem with a bully, you call us, and we'll take care of it.
That was really nice. He found out the guy
that might be a PR move, I don't know.
He found out the kid was a huge DeSean Jackson fan, and then he reached out, and which nice. I think is awesome.
The problem is, if he becomes too much of a fan favorite, you guys will hate him.
No, I'll hate him if
just because your little thing didn't actually turn out to be accurate, Fred. Go ahead.
It's absolutely 100%.
Name some other fan favorites.
Oh, will you stop? Don't be so sensitive.
Well,
it's like I got a room full of Eric's here.
You take the argument to a ridiculous level, and then it takes us off the argument.
That was good. I like that.
Chad and George is on the line. Hey, Chad.
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, we're just, doing our Thursday thing here in PFW in progress.
Arguing.
I hear you. I hear you. I've been listening to it for the past 5 minutes. I come in late on the argument of Aaron Rodgers. So who's for him right now and who's against him between you guys?
Look, Paul and I are saying that it's not out of the question for somebody to say he's playing the position better than anyone has ever had at this point. I happen to think it's probably more accurate to say as good as anyone has ever. And Andy really objects.
Or as well.
He objects to people saying that type of superlative at this point.
Oh, good. So I can agree with Andy on this.
Woohoo!
Okay. I think the fact that Fred thinks it's not outrageous kind of ends the argument. Because if anybody would have a problem with it, it would be Fred.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I've been saying this for the longest time, and I live in Atlanta, and for whatever reason, there's a bunch of Green Bay Packers fans down here, but they like to compare Brady and Rodgers, and they are, I don't know what the deal is with the glory that Aaron Rodgers is getting, but he won the Super Bowl, whoopsie-doo, they were 10-6 when the Super Bowl.
What does your record have to do with winning a title? Is that not as important a title?
Nothing really.
So when Joe Montana won a title at 10-6, did anybody say they were 10-6? Because that happened.
No, but I mean, there's six losses there, so apparently he's...
Yeah, three of them he didn't play in, if I'm not mistaken.
Look, but here, I'm gonna cause a little sacrilege here, okay? Or commit a little sacrilege. As much as I love Brady, and I would take him over Rodgers, because I love Tom Brady, and I know what he's done in the clutch. When you talk about pure quarterbacking, okay, Brady is probably not the pure quarterback that... a Marino was, or an Aaron Rodgers is right now. Brady won a
Here's
lot.
Here's where I might jump ship with you.
Brady in 2003, 2004 won a lot of games throwing for 250, 260 yards.
Oh, well,
but
less
not,
than that.
Yeah, but not making any mistakes, managing the game really well.
I think that's pure quarterbacking, though, so I think I might have a different opinion of you. But listen, I think that Andy hit it right about 10 minutes ago. I think Rodgers and Brady can make all these throws and do all this accurate stuff. They know where to go with the ball. And Rodgers has an added dimension of mobility that Brady never has. And I think that's one thing that I think separates them.
That's true.
I think when it's all said and done, Aaron Rodgers is going to be considered every bit as good, if not better, than Brady. He's not there yet because of what Andy just said. He's only done it once.
If he keeps this pace,
listen,
I think
you can
hate
the guy. That's fine.
Yeah,
everybody has their own opinion.
He won't.
They might win back-to-back Super Bowls this year, and all of a sudden he's in the mix. He's in the talk.
Wait a minute. Why won't he?
Because I mean, no one does.
But this whole what do you mean no one does? It happens every year.
We project.
Teams in the NFL.
He did this.
No one repeats.
Tom Brady had three touchdowns. Oh my God, he's going to end three Super Bowls in 4 years. He's going to end up with eight.
There's more repeat title winners in football than any other sport. Why won't he win it again?
I didn't say he's not going to win it again. He's not going to keep this up for his career. Because yes, if he does this, if he's 28-2 every nine games for the rest of his career, you were right. He will go down as the greatest, don't ask any questions, the greatest quarterback of all time. But he won't.
But all we're commenting on is what he's done, not what he will
do. For nine games.
Right.
And he's playing the position better than anyone ever has.
And you said, they were going back to the last six.
And they may have.
Year.
I don't remember if they said that or not. But I just think, I mean, is this scientific? Did they take the greatest nine-game stretch from Brady, the greatest nine-game stretch from Manning?
I don't think you need to be. Come
see,
on,
I think
Andy.
You do if you're going to make this
greatest,
definitive
wait
statement.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The
that's
greatest
ridiculous.
Nine-game stretch or the first nine games of a season? Because that's a difference.
Oh,
Because I'm sure Rodgers has
nine
games
the first nine.
That you could cherry-pick that are
better
than the 90s.
Nine-game stretch. It has to be a stretch. Because they're
saying
right
okay.
now.
Well, you didn't say that. You
I
said
the greatest
games.
Nine-game stretch.
Okay, well, the first time you didn't say stretch.
Yes, I did. I can have it played back for you if you'd like. The greatest nine-game stretch.
That's a different thing.
But I don't think they've done that.
I'm going to bet.
They just said, this one's really good. It's got to be the best.
If you're just saying nine, then I'm going to bet that this is the best nine. I mean, I agree with your theory about
it. And it doesn't have to be the start of a year.
No.
This,
it doesn't.
Right now, at
this point. I thought you said nine games.
Chad, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
And they're basically saying he could.
Chad just flat out says he can't do it. Rodgers can't play.
But on ESPN,
Rodgers can't do this. They lost six games last year, so he stinks.
They're even saying he could suck next week. And he will
concluded
the greatest stretch you've ever seen of quarterback
that's
play.
That's the part that I agree with you.
I just think that's so stupid.
You need to do it for a whole year. I agree with you on that.
One of the reasons why I'm saying that he's not playing as well, but he's not played a good team since the Chargers.
The NFC right now is so much better than the AFC, it's not even close. Can we stop this argument about the caliber of opponents?
Right now,
the NFC is better than the
AFC.
Right
now, the Saints are one of the teams that I think if the Patriots had to go up against, they would have a real hard time because of their defense and the way they play defense. You know?
Who?
So, the Saints. And didn't he beat the Saints?
Tom Brady would eviscerate the Saints.
I don't know. They
would
absolutely eviscerate the Saints.
I think people are missing my point.
Like he did the last time they played him?
Last time they played, they weren't as good.
Well, all right. But I just think that to say that Rodgers hasn't played anybody.
Well, that's silly.
You know?
I think that's utter silliness. They haven't played anybody.
Who is he?
All right, Chad is unfortunately.
Chicago's no good.
I'm just laughing.
San Diego's no good.
Let's go to another call.
I mean, like Fred said,
Aaron
New Orleans is no good.
I just think it's funny that everybody's agreeing with me, but they're not really. I don't care that it's Aaron Rodgers. No. I don't care who the Packers have played.
It
could be a running back. I just think to say this little nine game, whatever it is so nearsighted, short-sighted. You're reacting to the latest thing you've seen. Just take a step back
I think that part of it is fair.
It's ridiculous.
I think what Andy's saying there is totally legit. Everybody's going to agree with Andy because he's not a Patriot. That's why I said the fact that you think that it's not foolish to me speaks volumes.
There you go.
And they're also confusing that I think he's a douche. My not liking him
has nothing to do with the performance.
Right. It's little looks. It's little mannerisms. He seems like a douche.
They went 10-6 last year. He didn't play against the Patriots. He didn't play against the Lions. I think he missed another game somewhere in there too.
Right.
But that's at least two losses that they had that he didn't play in.
Right.
And when he did play in the playoffs, by the way, on the road all the way through, they killed everybody.
That's because he had James Starks.
They killed everybody. I mean, you know, they couldn't stop him. Pittsburgh, is they not a good defense? That was rhetorical, right?
I wasn't.
Is Pittsburgh not a good defense? Because I know when Brady rips the Pittsburgh Steelers apart, it's like he owns Dick LeBeau.
Right.
And rightly so. We give Brady the credit, but why won't we give Aaron Rodgers the credit? And again, I don't like the guy.
Giving him the credit, all right. He's the greatest that's ever played the position at any time.
That's Andy Hart hyperbole.
There you go.
You said the guy.
It's 140.
You said the guy said it was the best stretch, nine-game stretch.
Yes.
All right.
Right now.
Couple callers.
So he didn't say he's the greatest of all time.
We got a couple callers.
The actual phrase was, he's playing the position better than anyone ever has.
Right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not saying he's the best of all time. That's he's not saying the same
he's
thing.
Playing it. Well, someone's he's playing talking, right you now. Have to shut up.
And is that true?
I think you're being.
I think it's not outrageous to say that.
I think
that.
You're being a nitpick Nancy there.
No, I don't think it's
I think
true.
Words have meaning, Fred, and I take them at their
here
meaning.
We go.
But I don't think it's an outrageous
for
statement.
Example,
I think
good and well have different meanings.
I think for someone to say Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time
is ridiculous.
I don't think that's ridiculous.
I do.
I don't personally
he's
agree with it.
He's among the greatest. Unless Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver of all time, correct?
So
that's true.
That's the only way you could be the greatest is if you just so far ahead
yes.
of it in everybody's mind. You can't
yes.
have an opinion.
No.
I think John Elway's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I think he
I
is.
I can't have that
but
opinion.
But I can't say he is. There's a difference.
But am I wrong because I say John Elway
I think he might
is?
Be playing the position better
think?
Than anyone
Andy
ever
is
has.
The sole holder of truth.
Well, I mean,
no.
I think Andy's
There's
point
a
is
difference
you,
between an opinion and a fact. There's a difference between your
well,
own personal
no
opinion.
It's not a fact that Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver
but it
of all
is.
Time.
But it is.
That's an opinion that happens
it's a fact.
To be universally shared.
That becomes fact. That's Wikipedia
but that's,
factification.
But that's your point is that if it's not, you know, 100 guys having the same opinion, it can't be considered
fact.
Valid.
Right. It can't be
it's
fact.
It's never fact, Andy.
It's
opinion.
Never fact. It's close enough to fact.
It's never
it's
fact.
It's 99%
right,
fact,
you're
right?
Wrong.
No,
I mean,
you're wrong.
We got a couple callers that have been hanging on. I want to get to them real quick before we go to our picks. Jeff in Bristol, Connecticut. Jeff, what do you
know,
got?
It's amazing how we don't talk about the Patriots
what's
when Andy's on the
guys?
Show.
Hey, Jeff.
I love the bickering, man. I'm all for it. I don't mean to interrupt.
That's no okay. problem, but go ahead.
I just got my wisdom teeth out, so if I'm mumbling a little bit, I apologize.
That's all right.
Can't be worse than the last guy.
yeah,
the last
no,
guy had a
yeah.
bad connection.
I grew up in Toronto, so whoever that Canadian caller was, he does not represent the majority.
There's that listener-on-listener crime.
I like it.
So I'm going to touch on the Aaron Brady thing quickly, and then I'm going to kind of totally flip gears, and then I'll get out of your hair.
Okay.
For me, just like I always like to put my perspective in like the or put myself in the shoes of an owner. As far as, like, you know, who's the best quarterback or whatever, for all I care about at the end of the day is win. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is on track to have a great overall career. You know, but until he brings home as many wins as Brady, it's all speculative.
Well, of course
so,
it is.
You know, so, well, but it's fine.
See, but,
I know.
But wait,
I
if you were taking a quarterback right now, literally, if you had to pick a guy right now, I would take Aaron Rodgers.
So would I.
Because he's younger.
Yeah,
the,
well,
the future
would,
is ahead of him, and I think
yeah,
he is going to win.
I would
a
take
lot of
him
games.
Because he's younger, but also because I think he's going to be better. But that's just my projection. Just
also, breaking news: Ross Ventrona has been signed to the practice
yes,
squad,
and Josh Victorian was let go.
I'm only kidding.
If you think that Brady's better, what difference should it make if Aaron Rodgers ends up winning more games? If you think Brady's better, you should think that Brady's better. You should make
yeah,
an evaluation based on
he has
right.
three Super Bowls and
yeah, well, let's say that Aaron Rodgers ends up with five.
What's that, sir?
Let's say that Aaron Rodgers ends up with five.
Yeah, but exactly.
If you think,
that's the problem with what you're saying. Let's say. Let's
no,
say,
what I'm saying is if you think.
You want.
My
let's
point is
Tom
if you
Brady
think Brady's better.
Three before he retires.
If you think Brady's better, it shouldn't matter how many games Aaron Rodgers wins. You should stick with thinking Brady's
that's
better.
That's exactly what I just said. Brady's got.
But you just said you got to go. You just said because Brady's better because he won three Super Bowls.
Correct.
Well, I'm saying that it shouldn't matter how many wins you have. If you think the guy is better, use your eyes and evaluate.
I mean, if Aaron
exactly.
Rodgers gets
that's
four, will
I'm
you
using.
Change your opinion?
So if Aaron Rodgers wins five, you shouldn't change your opinion. You should still think that Brady's better, is my point. Wins shouldn't
no,
have anything
I,
to do with
I,
it.
My opinion would change at that point because he's won five Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think that's
you see
foolish.
What I'm saying?
I think John Elway is a better quarterback than Joe Montana, yet he won half as many Super Bowls. I think if John Elway quarterbacked the San Francisco 49ers, they might have won 10. Personally.
So I totally agree with what you're saying, but I'm just saying, for me, like I had said when I first came on, for me, all I care about is who's bringing home the butter. Right now, Brady's got three fucking Super Bowls, and oh, sorry, I swore.
Okay, gotta go. See, we don't have a button, but you just get kicked off.
But also the flaw
you know
with
what?
That is Brady.
We'll give him a little of a slack. He's got the wisdom problem, the wisdom
that's
tooth
true,
problem.
Yeah.
Plus, you got him all worked up.
Quickly. Tim
but you know my point
Tim
is, I
Kansas
think if,
City.
Just in
Tim,
time with if you think one guy's better, I don't understand what right. the record has to do
Tim,
with
Tim, what's up?
Hey, I've got two questions for you. One, with the easiest way to schedule games they've got coming up here, should they, not will they, but should they consider sitting Brady if his arm is truly hurt? Wouldn't that make some sense? Not for the entire game, but make it like a preseason.
I think they should consider it, sure.
I think you got to consider winning games. I mean, if you can get a 2-3 touchdown lead in the third quarter and can save, you know, reps and things like that, sure. But
if
go into a game thinking about monitoring Brady, to me, they're not good enough to monitor Brady in any of these games.
No, and I also would be very, very concerned if
Palco, and the Colts back-to-back, you've got some leeway there, don't you think? Some rope?
Yes, I feel good about those games, but with this D, I don't feel great about anything. I'm not playing chess here. I'm not good enough to play chess with this team. I need to win games.
I would be really, really concerned, by the way.
Plus, if
he's that banged up, and I do think he's dealing with something, but if he's that banged up that they would consider that, I'd be really concerned.
Well, I mean, it takes him half a game to get going. It seems to get that tinnitus kind of worn out.
You might be right. You might be
that's
right.
That's just kind of a thought. The second thing, I know you guys have picks to make, is if we went back to the Rod Rust, Parcells, whoever era, whoever we had as our GM then, and he was picking the players now with Belichick as the coach, wouldn't you say with the talent that we have that he ought to be fired? Isn't it that it's just because Belichick is doing both that we don't say that?
Correct. I think that's a very accurate statement. If you had Bobby Greer was here as the GM, and this is what you were getting on, 3 years worth of drafts, I think you'd be sitting there saying, what are we doing? Three, four, 5 years, this is the talent. We have to come up with the practice squad guys to start. I think that's a good point.
And the third thing is more of a statement than a question. Fred, you must be the best boss in the world. Andy the Fraud keeps coming up with reasons to miss work, and you're like, so what?
I know. I hear you.
You know?
All right.
Fred was all over him yesterday.
Tim, thanks.
I pulled a Manny yesterday. Used my grandmother's death as an excuse.
Thanks for the backup. All right, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. That's the calls, and now it's quarter of, so we have to get to the picks. And Eric has just rushed in with a burgundy crew neck. Oh, no, V-neck.
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 V-neck. So. I've got the Paul's favorite, the waffle weave shirt. Well,
a different shade of red.
Now that fall is here, Eric will be taking out the sweaters.
Yeah. What's our update?
Same as yesterday.
Okay.
McCourty Fletcher Spikes. Bubble, shells.
In the bubble again.
In the bubble again.
The Michael Bublé.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Injury report comes out at 4 today. We didn't have one yesterday, obviously, so we'll have a better idea of what McCourty's status is then.
Okay.
All right. Real quick, last week, Freddie wins the week at 9-7. Another tough week for the boys. Eric and Paul, 8-8. Andy, 6-10 with the Wilson Hart formula. with the spread, Fred 10-6.
Oh,
Eric 9-7. Paul and Andy 7-9.
Starting to run away with it.
You are, Freddie. You have the lead now in both categories, 98-48. Eric is 95-51. I'm 94-52, and Andy's 88-58. With the spread, Fred now takes the lead back in that category, 74-68-4. Eric 73-69-4. Paul and Andy are tied at 66-76-4.
Okay, so let's get going. The first game is tonight. Thursday Night Football on the NFL Network. The Jets, of course, are going to Denver to take on Tebow. And I can't wait. This will be one that I'll either be riveted the whole time or I'll turn it off after about 10 minutes.
Oh, you're a big Tebow fan. You hate the Jets. You have passion for both
sides.
You
don't have to dissect it, okay?
Why would you turn it off?
Enough.
Are you with Paul?
Enough.
You don't really like football?
I think his point is either he's going to be riveted or the Jets are going to blow him out and he's not going to want to watch that.
Right.
I'm with you, Freddie. Right. Twice, so twice
you're prepared to see your boy lose.
God. What's your call? What's the number?
Jets by 6.
Jets by 6.
I think Fred's right.
Well, you don't like football either, so you won't watch.
I don't know what that has to do.
Says the guy who never watches
anything.
Is that a real cough? I will take the Jets. They're far, even though the Broncos are moving up and trying to get to 500, the Jets are much higher in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
What's our LT status? Do we know?
Out.
He's out.
He's out?
Yeah.
Already, yeah. Okay. I'm still going to go with the Jets. I think they are the better team, and I don't think he can do it, Tebow, against this team.
I'm going to take the Jets as long as the plane arrives safely.
I'm going to take the Broncos.
Probably there, right?
Not that I think they're going to win, but if they do win, I want to revel in that. And so I will go with the Denver Broncos to pull one of the upsets.
Wow.
And can you imagine the Jets losing to the Broncos? What those
are you picking with your head or your heart?
That's being a jackass.
On Friday morning?
Yeah, it'll be a debacle, but it won't happen. It's got no. I mean, they have a high school quarterback.
Oh, but I can only wish.
All done if it does, because that means that to me would be an indication that they've quit.
They can only lose.
And that could
quit.
Happen. They could quit after that game
Won't
Sunday
happen.
Night.
They're going to beat up.
That
All
could
right.
happen.
Let's move from Thursday night to Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
We'll skip over Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, there are no games.
I know.
You're right.
Cincinnati at Baltimore. This is
yeah. What Andy said was just ridiculous. You're right, Fred. Right.
There's a lot of tough games to pick this week, and we'll see as we go along. Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 7.
I will take Baltimore to win.
Yeah,
because they are higher ranked and at home, and they're the 7th ranked team in the Wilson Hart.
How's
Power
that been
Index.
Working for you?
6-10. 8-5.
7.
That's a tough one for me. I'll take the Ravens.
I will take the Ravens to win at home as well, bouncing back from the pathetic display that they put on in Seattle. And give me the Bengals with the number, Paul.
I will take Baltimore both ways. I think they bounce back. And
I'm madly in love with Joe Flacco.
Everybody will be on the Ravens again, and then they'll lose to some other crappy team down the stretch.
I'm with Eric. Baltimore wins, but I think that Cincinnati
I like Cincinnati, by the way. Cincinnati impressed me last week. Getting the knockout blow early, 14-0 to Pittsburgh. They found a way to stabilize it. They tied the game back up.
The Red Rifle.
Had a chance to win. Some
rookie
mistakes.
AJ Green healthy?
Hyperextended knee. I don't know if he's playing.
Oh, boy.
Hyperextended.
Yeah, it happened then that
came down very awkward.
Yeah.
Jacksonville at Cleveland, 1 o'clock.
Pick them.
Pick them.
Fred will go with an upset.
Yeah.
Right.
I will take Cleveland because this is a tight matchup in the Wilson Hart Power Rankings, but I'll take the 17th ranked Cleveland Browns at home.
I will go with the same pick because they're at home. That's the only reason.
And they're 17th as compared to 19th.
I am quite certain that I haven't gotten a Cleveland game right all year, but I'll take Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns as well. And if anyone follows me on Twitter, Medna, I retweeted out that video of the Cleveland Browns fan. Highly recommended. 70 seconds well
Did you see
spent.
Are you going to tell us that story someday?
Funny. What?
Where the me DNA comes from?
Oh, someday I will.
It's Medna.
Did you know that he has a cousin
I don't like Medna. I like me DNA.
Me DNA.
Today's story was he has a cousin who's high up in Caesar's Palace in
Vegas?
Vegas.
Do you?
Yeah, sure.
He thought. Oh, I thought I told you. I mean, it's hard to keep track. He never told us.
No.
Carolina at Detroit.
Lions by 7.
Lions by 7.
I will take the Detroit Lions to win and cover. They're the 4th ranked team in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
I'll take the Lions because they are the better team. They're a little inconsistent lately, but I still.
Did you see who they worked
I like
out
them at home? No.
Sean Crable.
Really?
Ready, willing,
Michigan
and Crable.
Boy coming back home, perhaps.
I just assumed he was in like another
Lions
work by now.
Yeah, I'm going to take Detroit as well. I am not impressed with the job that Jimmy Schwartz is doing with that club. I think he's let them sort of lose focus easily, worrying about this.
Yeah. Ever since the handshake.
This swagger that they're trying to develop as the bad boys of the NFL. Not working, but I take them to bounce back.
I'll go with Detroit as well, both ways. Tampa Bay at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 14.
The Bay of Pigs, this one was called.
Well, when the number 30 team travels to the number 2 team, it's pretty safe to go with the number 2 team to win and cover.
Okay.
Tampa and is number 30?
They have a quarterback that's been playing the position better than anyone else has.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against the Packers right now. So I'll take them to win and cover.
Till Sunday when he throws 2 picks, and then it won't be the best that anyone's ever played.
Correct.
That's idiotic.
Correct. I will take Green Bay.
Me too. Buffalo.
No, me DNA.
What's that?
Me DNA.
Don't confuse America. We get a lot of picks to make.
Buffalo at Miami, still at the 1 o'clock frame.
Dolphins by 2.5.
I refer to the Buffalo Bills as the stone that is dropping in the water of the Wilson Hart Power Index. They're now down in the middle of the pack after being up near the top.
Really?
But they're still well ahead of the Dolphins.
Sure.
So the Dolphins are favored by 2.5.
2.5.
That's preposterous. Even though the Bills have struggled, they are the better team. I will take them to win on the road.
The bearded wonder.
Yeah, he's got to do away with that. He's got a new contract now. He can afford a razor.
I need to add an addendum to the you can't win with long hair. You can't have ridiculously long beards like that.
Roethlisberger aside.
I'm going to take Buffalo, but I'm not so sure they're any better.
Was never that
personnel wise than Miami.
Yeah. You might be
I think they're very, very evenly matched teams. I will take Buffalo.
Something's
I'll take the points.
To not have Buffalo be a favorite in this game. Something's
they stink.
Up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The Bills are coming off 2 blowout losses, and Miami's coming off of 2 blowout wins.
Yeah, I'm going to fall in the trap, though. I'm going to take Buffalo. Oakland.
We all did. All 4 of us.
Oakland at Minnesota.
Oakland at Minnesota. Raiders by 1.
This is a tough game.
Not if you have the Wilson Hart Power Index. I'll take Oakland.
6-10.
I'll take the Vikings at home in this game. I don't really trust Oakland, and Ponder is up and down. I think he'll be up this week at home, and I'll take the Vikings. Peterson running all over the place.
I'll take Oakland. I think they're the better team, and the Vikings coming off a road Monday night game, always a tough
spot. And one where they really just gave, I really thought, even though Green Bay is a much better team, that they would give them a game. And they just fell flat. What was it 44-7 they lost? Something like
45.
That?
I
didn't really
45-7. Just real bad.
Didn't see one play. Minnesota, that was one of the games that Fred
Minnesota's a team that may have given up. I guess I have to go with Oakland. Dallas at Washington.
Washington.
Dallas by 7.5.
How about them Cowboys?
Dallas, one of the big risers of late. A couple victories, getting them moving way up into the top 10 in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. So I'll go with Dallas to continue the hot run here against.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, Jimmy. Bad quarterback. If Rodgers is playing it as well as anyone ever has, because I could say that
Beck is playing as bad as anyone ever has. Sure, you can say it. I'll go with the Cowboys. They are the better team.
Can I change my pick for the Minnesota-Oakland game?
You want to go to Minnesota?
I want to go Minnesota.
What swayed you in the last 30 seconds?
I'm thinking about Jared Allen just destroying Carson Palmer and Adrian Peterson running all over Oakland and them giving up in the third quarter.
That's a fair.
Is Darren McFadden
fair analysis right there?
McFadden back?
I don't know. I saw there was a status update on him, but it didn't say what it was. I heard Adam Schefter talking about it.
That's a terrible status update.
Ooh. Well, it was obviously an audio one.
Verbal?
Yeah. So you took Dallas there, hi-ho?
I'm taking Dallas, yep.
Not you. Oh.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I am going to take Dallas. However, I will take the points because Washington always beats Dallas, and I'm not willing to lay 7.5.
Okay.
So you have Dallas both ways,
Freddie? I do, both ways. Arizona at San Francisco.
Niners by 9.5.
I'll take the Niners to win and cover. They're the number 3 team.
I will take the Niners to win. Damn it, that's a tough number.
It's a tougher one you thought.
It's a tough number.
Yeah, Arizona's been playing
pretty well. I'll fall in the trap. I'll take the Cardinals with the number. I don't like it.
Yeah, I have no problems laying the points, not because of San Francisco's offense, but because of their defense. They'll score some points. I'll take the Niners and I'll lay the points.
I'm going to take the points, but say San Francisco wins. And by the way, that was a 405 game. So we'll stay at 405 and go to St. Louis, where Seattle is in town to play the Seahawks.
To play the Seahawks?
To play the Rams.
Are they?
Yeah, to play the Rams.
Rams by 1.5.
It's a scrimmage. I have to take the Seahawks because they are significantly higher there than the Rams, the 31st ranked team. My guy's back, right, though? He played last
Bradford,
week.
Bradford, yeah. Yeah, and that's why I'm going to go with the Rams at home. The Bradford difference.
Yes, I am taking St. Louis as well.
I'm not allowed to.
Both teams stink. I'll take the home team.
Yeah, me too. St. Louis. Okay, now we go 10 minutes later to 4:15. Tennessee at Atlanta.
Falcons by 6.
Atlanta really screwed me last week. I picked them to win.
I am thankfully
they did not.
Saved here by the close home rule. I can take the Falcons, even though they are a little bit lower ranked than Tennessee. So I'll take the Falcons to win and cover. Whatever.
Yeah, I will take the Falcons at home, too. Number again, Paul? I apologize.
6.
Sure. I'll take them both ways.
Sure. I know that these teams, I think they have the same exact record, but it doesn't seem to me they're in the same.
5-4, 5-4, yep.
Don't seem to me that they're in the same category. Yeah. I'll take the Falcons.
I like those old Falcons uniforms, too, with the red helmets and the black shirts.
This is radio.
Like those.
I'm going to...
That's why he described them.
It's not like Paul. When Paul does radio, he's on TV.
Tebow tonight, this is my upset of the week. Tennessee beats Atlanta. And Matt Ryan...
Gets to hear some boo-birds. Boo-birds, huh?
Yeah.
In Atlanta?
He melts.
Matty melts.
Still Matty, at 4:15. San Diego at Chicago.
Bears by 3.5.
San Diego.
And as they should be, Bears rising up the polls into the number 5 slot this week. I'll take the Bears.
They're a team
I hate
under
them,
radar.
But you know you got to give them their credit for
Green
what they're
Bay's
doing.
Green Bay stealing all the thunder in that division, but... Watch out for the Bears.
Interesting. I know you don't care about my Wilson-Hart Power Index, but Packers, Lions, and Bears all in the top 5.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I see what you did there. Normally, if I weren't being serious, I would have.
Sorry, we have to be serious now. Now he wants to talk serious.
Now you're being serious?
Jay Cutler is going to say, go yourself, San Diego. Bears win.
He really could.
At home.
Yeah, I know. He could say it like in the press conference or something. He's a douchebag.
I will take Chicago, but I'll take the points with San Diego.
Okay. And I will take Chicago as well and lay them down. Everything that's good Everett speak.
Makes me laugh.
Not
just
really.
The way he says it.
Everett speak if
like
we want to get
his first
beat
time
up.
In a casino and he's trying to
right, he's impressive. Trying to be
like,
cool.
I'm
going to
lay him down.
Oh,
I'm definitely the guy in the casino at the 21 table pissing everybody off because I'm doing stupid things.
On purpose? I can't imagine that.
I just don't know what you're doing.
Right. Do people call it the 21 table?
No, it's blackjack. it's blackjack.
I didn't know if I was out of the
as
loop.
Soon as he sat down,
we were going to let him get away
with
it.
As soon as he sat down and turned to Nikki and said, I'm going to sit at the 21 table, the other four people would have gotten up. She said, that's good, honey. I'm going to go to the adults table.
I'm a roulette player anyway. Philadelphia at the Giants, Meadowlands.
Giants by 4.5.
Giants Stadium. They have to hose it down after the Jets play. They basically have to hose it down with boiling water in order to disinfect it.
It's like Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
I'll take the Giants.
Me too, at home over the hapless Eagles. Some dream team turned into a nightmare, huh?
Sure. That's the first time anyone said that, right?
No, I did that.
Really original.
Did that on purpose.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
No idea.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Well, they're in every game, Fred. They could win any game they play.
They've blown five fourth
What's
quarter
the number?
Leads. 4.5. Giants by 4.5.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand taking that.
Eli's a fraud, but I don't know.
But
Paul's right. In the fourth quarter, he'll
Vince
have a chance
playing,
to win.
Right? It's going to be Vince Young.
Oh, can I change my pick?
I would change your pick then.
Is that true?
Is that?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me just say this. If we find out in between now that Vince Young is playing, I'm changing my
pick
to the Giants.
Okay, I'm going to go with Giants regardless.
We're all gentlemen here, right?
Yes. Even if Vic plays with the two crack ribs.
You see the guy?
No, but they're making it like it. Sorry, Felger and Maz is coming on Comcast, and they're doing like it's a sitcom previously on Felger and Maz. It says it right on the screen.
Well, that's because Felger's on. He says the same stuff every day.
Yeah, you don't need to say. I mean, you could replay the Monday show, and it'll be the same as
Friday.
Okay,
did you take the Giants, Freddie?
I am taking the Giants. All right, now, finally, we don't have to skip over any games.
Are you going
to
be in this, Paul?
We go to Monday at 8:30.
Oh, my God.
Kansas City at New England.
Is he storing nuts for the winter?
Kansas City at New England.
Not a good guy.
No.
What?
Kansas City at New England. 14.5.
It's 15, according to Jeff.
Right. This is the Herald today, so it's not necessarily the trop.
I will take the New England Patriots to win and cover. I think they're going to score a lot of points in this one. I don't think they're going to turn the ball over. And left-handed backup quarterbacks are even worse than regular backup quarterbacks, so they'll continue to have a little fun up front.
I thought
you
were going to say they're even worse than left-handed starters.
Mm. Well, no, he's a left-handed backup quarterback.
No, I know. So that makes him worse than even a left-handed starter who we all know can't play.
No. I'm saying the guy who's starting in Denver is a left-handed backup quarterback. I don't... consider him a starting quarterback.
I see what you did there.
Just because he's starting for his team,
that part of it.
He's a backup.
It always comes back to team.
It is amazing. The Patriots have a chance to complete the season seeing six straight backup quarterbacks and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, is a backup quarterback.
Right. Guys,
even though he makes $50 million.
Imagine if they play Vince Young. Ooh.
They could play a backup quarterback every week the rest of the year until the last game.
Right.
As of right now.
You said that previously on Felger and Maz.
And then all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, Tony Maz goes, you know, Paul was right. I'm like, what did you think? I just made it up.
I'll go with New England to win, and I'll fall in the trap. I'll lay the points.
It's not a trap.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Smart.
No, I'm going with the smart money, and I'm laying the points.
Well,
these are the games the Patriots.
Right?
The Patriots blow these kinds of teams out right here after a win like that.
Yeah.
They
That's
do
true.
Not fall into the trap. They
familiarity matters. You might hear that on PFW TV tonight.
Patriots big. 38-3 was my all-access prediction.
If you're a careful listener of or around the NFL, you know that there are times when I do take the points in a Patriots game. But
there was a time.
Very rarely.
I think I could come up with one.
More than once. That's why I'm the leader of this year in and year out.
Fred took the Giants.
He did.
There was one. I think that was the one. Me and you took the Giants.
Every year.
We took the points with the Giants.
That's why I win this year in and year out. But this is one time where I am going to lay the points. Patriots win by about 20 in this game. And
We're talking about Michael Vick right now on NFL Network. I don't know what they're saying.
It's a good status update.
All right.
it's almost as good as your injury update you had a couple minutes ago.
Can you imagine that, though? Seeing six consecutive backup quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know what's even worse when you see six consecutive backup quarterbacks throw for 300 yards.
Okay, programming note. John Rook isn't here.
Some will.
So they're going to replay this show.
Oh, if they see the six consecutive backup quarterbacks, none of them will.
Fred's trying to make a point, fellas.
I thought we had a nice little wager there for me and Andy.
Let's see.
Exit.
It's gone. I've lost my train of thought. No, I'm only kidding.
Programming note.
John Rook isn't here. So we're going to replay this show, and then Pete Shepard will be here at 4.
This is a wing dinger replay.
So if you missed anything, if you came in late.
So we're going to go back at the end of those 2 hours to the 1 o'clock game.
Yes. But Pete Shepard will be here at 4 with a live show.
And the B-Low.
And the B-Low with his fantasy forecast picks. And
good news for you, huh?
What about Pete the poker player or Alex the poker? What's his friend that calls in?
As for us, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Ooh.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.